Welcome everybody to the board meeting. Somebody volunteer for an opening prayer. Roll call. I thought about that on the way home and was kind of disturbed about it, so I went ahead and wondered if Linda would have done on the agenda to find who was start. Mark, President.
Lynn Clarkson, Vice President.
Bill Clarkson, Director.
Patrick Clarkson, Mom.
Robert Allen.
Emma, 233.
Ryan Duncan. Alderman,
Secretary.
Jody Ingrid,
Treasurer.
Linda, Alderman, Secretary.
Is
this gentleman back here?
Cody.
Oh, okay. And who's on the internet with us?
Answering via teleconference.
Thanks for joining us, man. Thanks for everybody being here. We have approval for October and November 4 meeting minutes. Shauna is not present. I saw an email out there that Shauna was asked to bring those minutes for us.
I'm wondering if we have that done by an employee rather than a volunteer. I mean, they what? The entire year, they have no minutes.
Yeah, this is not good to have no minutes to work off of from our last.
Well, I might be right on that, but at the same time, as members of the board, we have a responsibility, and that responsibility should be upheld.
Yeah, there's no written minutes, but there's audio notes.
I think we need to, go up to our responsibility and keep up with that. Otherwise, I would want to be on the board.
Let's see. Well, anybody heard from Shauna? No, something happened. She's not going to be here or anything like that.
I didn't hear anything.
She may come, so it's still at the end. But if she doesn't by the end, then I think we need to try something different. If it is a board member, maybe a different board member or something. Shauna's done before, if she's here. If it's something that you're doing off the audio tape, afterwards, it just takes forever.
It takes a long time. I tried to do that once, just to make my own notes on it. 4 hours
I did hear from Dave Turley.
Yep.
He is planning to be here.
Okay, good.
He was to leave Salt Lake at 2 a.m.
Thank you. Okay. That'd be good. So we'll see about addressing this issue a little later on for the minute. Let's just go right on to financial report from Linda.
At the beginning of December, we were really close to out of money, and I sent out the assessment. We have since received about $10,000 in assessment, and you have one comment there on an assessment received.
The one she's referring to here is from Mr. Larry Bear. That's it, right?
Okay. Yeah, two lots.
All right.
He did send a check.
This year's raise seems kind of steep to me. Therefore, this being paid under protest and signed, it's on a sticky note. A
but I guess he paid them.
He did.
So, duly noted.
As far as the income and the amount that we are using, we are now working off of next year's assessment. So, that's not really a good situation. We need to try not to have that happen this coming year.
It has been that way for the last 3 years, right?
We worked out off of the next year's assessment 3 years, the last 3 years, yeah.
Really?
We have, yeah. Last year in December, I got really scared, too, and, I at that point, I was like, we just can't spend any money, and then the assessment started coming in, and December was off of this year's assessment.
That's where that cushion would come in.
And you've already eaten up. We got a $4,300 cushion for this year's budget, and that's already been surpassed now. We're not even in this year. You still have the propane bill. Did you get the final propane bill?
Yes, it's for $31.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it got off about $500.
Okay.
Nice.
I know it's pennies, but I mean, I was kind of shocked to see my letter in the mail. Thought maybe we can distribute a few here to the people that just randomly show. I mean, we know we're going to be here. Didn't send Dell 60 in, did you? Yeah. Letters?
No. You spent a long time.
Never. I don't know. I personally was just rather excited to be here. I think some of the board members know we're going to get this. I don't know. It's peanuts, but I mean, it all adds up at the end of the year.
It does. It's $43 that we raised. Each assessment was $43.
Yeah.
$2. You know, that's not, yeah, it's not a lot of money, but it looks like a lot when you're looking at
that. Yeah, when you put all the postage out, I mean, everything that you can save, yeah.
Just in postage to send out our assessment letters, it costs us over $100.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's something that we can discuss it probably in January about maybe going into increases on a lot of those that to take some of that money back. But
is there something we could just throw out there for the board or for the board to think about? I mean, a lot of things are now going to paperless trail.
Yeah, that's internet. Right. I haven't done that on invoices. We do that on newsletters for that very purpose because it costs so much. But we have a few members that do not that are not on internet.
Yeah.
And those I mail on, but as far as the is going paperless for the invoices and those types of things, that's a possibility. But I think we should discuss that in January.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll just do it.
And I can put that on the agenda for January if you like.
Okay. To solve the financial problem, the only way, you know, this has been Deer Springs from.
Right.
30 years ago. I mean, for years when I was vice president in the 90s, we'd go to State Bank at the end of the year and get a loan every year to get us to the end of the year. So to make it into December, last couple of years, we've made it into mid to late December, and then there's been a few bills that really should have been paid in December versus January when it had not paid. I think since I've been on the board this last 3 or 4 years, this is the first time we've run out basically in November and had some significant bills that were like, hey, we really can't hold these for nearly 60 days or whatever, and it's been more of a crunch. So the year that, you know, 15 years ago, 10 years ago, when I was president, we used to have a board meeting in July, and I became president, and we couldn't cover payroll at the end of that week, which was... money at that point, there's a lot more delinquent assessments and stuff. And so that next year, and that's what I recommend doing right now, it's in January, we just made a motion. We figured just what it would take to cover property tax, which is our big bill, and payroll from the 1st of October through the end of the year, the last quarter. And at the time, it was like $15,000, I think. And we put that money in a 9-month CD. So by January 1st or 15th, I think maybe it was January 15th, we put it in a 9-month CD. So back then it got a little bit of interest. Now it doesn't matter. You're not going to get any. But it was locked until October 15th. But then as we go through a board transition in September, we always lose a little bit of momentum and stuff. But they know outside of projects and stuff, if they have to shut everything down, at least the property tax will get paid and payroll will be covered and the basic, you know, fixed expenses are covered so that we're not waiting until, you know, December to wonder, or property tax time if we can cover property tax. That money is just put away up front, and so it moves that deadline, you know, forward. And that's the only way I know, just to, you know, we can always have this buffer that we're going to leave in the account. I've heard that in this corporation and a lot of others, and it just never happens because we always have projects. Deer Springs will always have more projects than we have money. So unless we take it out of there and lock it away where we can't touch it, is the easy thing to do when we have a lot of money in January.
The other way to do that would be to expense it out of the first of the year as an accrued expense, and that money is just not in the budget anymore.
Yeah.
Just like you said, it's locked away, but it's not counted as part of the total.
Right, but if, it doesn't go account, we still see it in the account balance, and some people don't look at it in depth. You know, some of these budgets and, you know, these reports that hand out, and they say, oh, well, I see that there's still, you know, $7,000 in the account, you know. If it goes out of the account and nested into a separate savings account.
If it's already spent, though, it's not in the account, because you've already spent it.
But where would we put it?
Put it into an amount, into an account that is distributed through the year if necessary. Yeah. But, it's not in the budget anymore, because it's already been expensed.
That's what that 60/40 is for putting money into the
capital development. We need to do the same thing with where it comes to the property taxes or anything that we know is an absolute every year. Payroll, any taxes that are due. Anything else that comes along that line. I mean, we're not talking about fuel or other things that we accrue as we go through the year. We're talking about the things we know we have to have money for through the year, no matter what's in there. We spend that out first of the year, and that money's gone, and it's not there anymore. We can't say, well, we have this money to spend because it's not done. It's already been spent.
Yeah, I mean, it's at the beginning of the year. You're right. It's already spent.
It's the first of the year. It's already been spent. That money doesn't even show up in the budget anymore.
I think Ben's right. We're not going to get any money by throwing it in the bank. We're locking it up somewhere.
Yeah.
But we know we've got the bills coming up. That's what we meet every month for. We should have control it better this year.
Mark, I think that we can talk about hiding it here or there, putting it someplace. Critical thing is, in any business, whoever's in charge has got to make sure that there's more income than expenses.
Yeah.
And we're still fading this question. We're still not addressing it. And we seem to think that something's going to fall out of the sky. So what do we put in our left pocket or the right? We don't have a pocket at all. We're still not coming to reality. And any business in America, you've got to have enough income to cover your expenses. And you can cut your expenses down and down and down until you starve the old cow. She didn't give you enough then. And I think that we've continued to kind of tear down Deer Springs and ignore some of the things that really are being neglected. I think it's a matter of income with a lot of attention to the expenses, but I think that's where the problem is.
Well, I think it's crazy we don't have to go to the bank right now. It's sad because we didn't make it at the end of the year and we're already into this year's budget. I would hope that some of the people that maybe check out on the internet and review this recording, I know that's why we had to raise our assessments a little bit to help cover something. It doesn't solve all our problems, but yes, we do need to look at some issues that we can create and generate some income. It's very important.
Basically, the raise of the assessments that we did this year is cost of living raise because our fuel has gone up, our propane has gone up, all of that expense.
Yes.
Any time we have to have work done on anything at the ranch, that rate has gone up. So all that $43 did was cover a cost of living.
Right.
Great. I
I have on the agenda item number 11.
Okay.
Okay, we'll address that later.
So I make a motion that we calculate that Linda calculates the fixed costs from October to the end of the year and we just put it away in savings account.
The fixed cost?
Yep.
Okay.
Payroll, property tax, and any other insurance or cash that we have at that time.
I have calculated the fixed costs over the year and from October to December. I need you to turn my way.
Fixed costs for fourth quarter.
Fourth quarter. Okay, thank you.
If there's a question from Ben.
And then do what with them?
And it was
Brian.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
I need and well, I'm going to
put it in a savings account or a CD or whatever is the I mean.
Okay.
Put it into a separate account for fourth quarter fixed costs.
We have another account we can put that in. Okay.
All right, and I guess I'm taking some notes here. I guess I want to go ahead and do the minutes for this particular one we're setting up today. Just for today.
I need a big buck.
Oh, okay. All right, let's move on. Go to branch manager report from Paul. We have a subcategory here. Workman's call, Paul.
I don't know who put that
category
there.
I guess this, I guess we're going to talk about the workman's call claim, I guess. I don't know.
There was no claim filed.
So, okay.
And this is off the record. Only because, insurance companies are fine. I just put it on my insurance. It was a $3 copay, and that's insurance that I paid for. It's nothing that the ranch pays for. File workers' comp claim makes the workers' comp base price go up. I don't know how that works, but I know you keep filing deals on there. It keeps going up. It doesn't look good for insurance. What was the
question is, do we have workers' comp?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
It's kind of the same thing last year with the cow, or the year before with the cow, we get the cow. Instead of filing a claim, we pay the busing $500.
There was a cow that broke the window on a car. Is that a different cow?
That was broke in my
mind. No, it was before.
So that's I don't know if I did the right thing by doing that, but I know when you start filing claims, workers' comp, insurance policies go up.
I think the biggest thing on that one is we do, I know you've got pictures and so forth, but I think for additional purposes, we need to have a report filed from you, even though you stand on your own. The only reason to do that is because with me and my business and workman's comp, we deal with all the time. And if something does develop with that, and I understand you said that as a personal, a lot of my guys do the same thing too. If an issue arises out of that and needs further or something bigger to take place, then one of the questionnaires on that is, was a report filed.
I love it.
So,
on that, we should have it. Yes. CFROA form for workers' comp issues, a liability form. So it's like the employees just fill out the information, like send it out. It should be on a letterhead.
Just a report from me would be sufficient to send it out.
You send a picture of, if you have a picture or whatever, and then this, and an email or something, at least document the date, what you were doing, and the location.
I know everybody an email and a picture.
I'll get a picture.
I couldn't open it.
I got the picture, but it didn't have a lot of detail. I mean, you talked to me personally, and so I know a lot more about it than, or whatever.
There was no detail on that.
Date, what happened.
Right, where you were at, what you were doing.
If you would just fill out an incident report, shall we call it? It's only say major infection happens later down the road, or you start getting lost,
It just covers our file by itself.
You know, there's really no line between personal time.
It doesn't have to be the way I understand workless comp since I'm working for it, I'm working with it all the time. It doesn't have to be a claim file. It just has to be an in report. It's something has to fall back on it, just so we have proof.
Right, so we can all say it was reported. But I think that, you know, I mean, you did the right thing for, as long as you're taking care of it, so it'll definitely save the SRA money what you're doing to not make a big claim out of something that your insurance can, or we can take care of it outside of making a claim. It definitely is good in the long run.
That's water report.
Doing another branch report, yeah.
Been doing a lot of rock hogging. Until the rock hog finally went, broke a blade, ordered a blade, and kind of had some bits trying to get both blades off and new blades on. And finally got a new blade on and stripped a bolt and put an old bolt on. That disc that's on there that holds the blades is stripped on the inside. Kind of a keyway system. The bolt goes in the slot. It's not supposed to spin around, but it's stripped to the point where you put a bolt in and it strips out. You lose the whole thing. But I have some more ordered. I hope it doesn't snow too much Tuesday or Monday. It doesn't like deep brush out until it's too deep.
So the part that bent was the new blade you said that bent down.
Right,
so by replacing that base blade, bolt and blade, it should.
Oh, yeah. And I think I'm going to tack weld a nut onto the bolt. So it'll spin all day long, but it's not going to come.
Well, and even the tack weld, the bolt to that disc. So the bolt's not spinning. Those blades are supposed to swing and spin. You know that. I mean, you've seen that.
Yeah.
But just like
if they catch something, they're supposed to swing.
Right, they're supposed to swing. So they should be loose. But if that bolt's spinning, it's going to continue to wobble and wear that out. You got a lot of RPMs. But to put that in tight, tack weld the bolt on, but even to tack weld that nut on the top of the disc so that the bolt is not spinning, because it doesn't matter. When you go to take it out, just like you spent, you're basically cutting the torch and nose off anyway. So to grind or cut through a little bit of a tack weld, but I would let the bolt spin or it will continue to wear out. We don't want a big old hole in that disc, and then we got to replace that.
Price, it was $497 for the disc. If you truly wanted to do it. I just assumed weld into the disc, weld the bolt into the disc. And, another thing, we've been down Steve's still up there. He hasn't continued crushing rock, but he hasn't popped it off, and I've sent out an email about Bill Hall and his deliveries, and I have a total. If you guys want it, I have it listed here. That's total crush that was sitting there before any of it was delivered. It was 4,532 yards. That's estimated 6,800 tons. I have a list here of everything that was delivered onto the ranch roads. There's a big difference between ranch roads and private property, I understand. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
That's more of a pain.
Yeah.
For the DMI.
Well, and
I don't know if you want me to just go down the list, or I have the list here. I can email it to you and pass it around. But, for right now, Phil Hall has put 1,300 yards, he's over 1,300 yards on ranch roads. Now that the snow's too deep, you can't get any material up to the top. And that's something that Ford has to kind of work with the Hall on. There's an agreement when this whole thing was brought up from the board and Phil Hall about payment. Ranch having gravel, Phil Hall having gravel. But I think Brent knows a lot more than I do on that. He was the one that originally brought it up to the board. Phil Hall's a little upset about how, you know, if the ranch isn't going to have any more gravel, you know, painful, or he's just going to cover all the costs, it's something the board has to deal with.
Well, that's where I mean.
The cost of the 1,300 yards Is that Phil's expense or how are you?
Right now, we haven't paid anything. Phil has to, you know, the proposal from Phil back in the summer was, you know, they were going to get the crusher up here. He would, you know, handle it. And I thought, you know, coordinate it, but he was asking, you know, DSROA to commit to crushing like 5,000 yards, which they didn't even do 5,000 yards total, I guess. And that he was willing to up front, you know, as quick as we don't have the money in 2011 budget, that he would pay for it and then work it out. And that was the discussion and that I remember, and I know board members said, yeah, that would be nice, and if Phil was willing to do that. I voiced at the time, and I still, you know, I think we just have to be careful when somebody offers us a great gift. That's generous, but at the same time, can we afford it today or in the future? I just don't want to be owing Phil, and because I see this happening, and it's happened before, and there it is again, where you're saying already, it's not even the end of the year, Phil's upset. Because we haven't paid him or something, and we were never going to.
It's not payment. It's there was an agreement. He brought everything up there. There's some material there. How come not spreading any on the roots?
Yeah.
You know, he's putting a lot up from the turnoff all the way up to his property.
So it's the 1,300 yards that he's put in Crawford, I'm sure.
Yep.
One that he's planning on paying for. Because
I've got the permit. And, you know, we've already said that if it's going on a ranch road, he, you know, doesn't have to pay for it.
I'm not sure that's the story. I had the feeling that even Paul, that Phil wants us to pay the $7 a yard for that material song if you're up to
it. I don't think that's what I was under the impression that Phil was saying, if I don't have to pay DSROA for the crushing fee, and I don't have to pay the BLM because it's going on DSROA. So he's getting, you know, he's saving the dollar a yard that he's willing to pay to crush it and to haul it to put it on Crawford because it's kind of, you know, in his neck of the woods, and that's something that I don't know that the board and DSROA as a whole could justify. But he would like to encourage the board then to put more on Battle Canyon, which he would use and everybody would use. Is what I was,
well, and I thought about it from the ponds to the gate. I don't know how much that would cost, but even if it, instead of putting 8 inches down, you could put 6 or 5.
This is the real rough before that.
It's just impassable when it's wet.
Yeah.
Has everybody read that one, that email? Or does that mean read it right now?
From
Phil?
No, go ahead and read it. I don't remember. That's part of the thing, is the communication.
It just came out. I think it just came out.
Oh.
Yeah. I'll read real fast here. From Phil to DSROA board, I'm encouraging you to not table again my previous request and information about my efforts to improve the ranch in the Crawford Canyon area, and in particular ranch roads through there. I have made available to Paul through my agent Alan all the information pertaining to the gravel pit activity of late. I have informed him of my efforts on the Crawford Road. It is a great expense to set up a gravel crushing production line. It has cost me personally to make this available approximately $4,000. I remind you that this anticipated event was discussed with the board. Then road manager Brett Fulmer and other board members from time to time starting over 1 year ago. I paid the BLM 50 cents a yard for 1,000 yards last month for gravel I intend to use on my own property. Because of the weather, I had not been able to transport for us this year. Sure, it's for us this year.
Or you used that this year.
Of course.
Yeah, used that.
I told them that I anticipate that a great deal of gravel would be used on the ranch roads in the future, and they informed me what I already knew, that it would cost the ranch nothing if used on ranch roads. They asked me for a figure, and I told them I did not know, but I might conceive it to be easily 3,000 to 4,000 yards. The BLM agent told me it doesn't matter, just pick a number, so I said 3,000 yards. That I was not the official voice of the DSROA board. He asked me to have the ranch manager or someone from the board fax or send them a message to that effect, and that would be all that was needed. I have informed Paul of that request. I would propose that your ranch bookkeeper keep track of my efforts and credit me against any owing annual dues or equipment usage for whatever you decide to use of the gravel, culverts, etc. As I informed you in my last communication, I am happy to help the ranch and am in a position to be liberal in time and way that the board may deem feasible or equitable or equitably to compensate me for some of the above named things. With the onset of winter leaving only a short time to capitalize on the resources and efforts available, I decided to proceed with time, efforts, and since I'm last road, which are now at the end of the snow and mud, sincerely, Phil Hall. So
it's my only concern is there's 4,500 yards of material signature. Phil Hall paid 1,000 yards. Grant and some other people have paid a couple of yards. What does it look like to the other? There's almost 5,000 yards, 4,500 yards of material there. We've only had a permit paid for this amount. If the BLM were to come out, they could kind of get kind of sneaky, raise a sneak flag and say, hey, you guys don't have a permit for this. That's my only concern. I don't care if the ranch buys material or if it's all paid for, but we have material sitting here.
Well, they are. After, you know, I talked to Paul and I told him, I mean, that, you know, Paul's been acting regularly and stuff. Since he's already talked to me, and I told him, yeah, I know that they're there. And he said, oh, well, Paul, Phil Hall called me yesterday and got a permit over his phone to start crushing. I can't lie to him. I said, I don't know if they're done or not, but I do know that the crush, you know, was delayed. You know, they had some, you know, they get wrecked or whatever. We can do it in the summer. It did get delayed and everything. But I said, I know that there is some stuff up there. And so I think that he's gone there and talked to Phil again and has, you know, and he refers to it in here where he, you know, asked Phil how many yards. I think part of it, Brent, maybe you can help us because you were involved in this and stuff. And personally, you know, I know that you've paid DSROA, for example, just so I understand, for gravel that you were going to use personally.
Right.
What you pay with that, are you paying Allen crushing fee separate?
Yes. Apparently, and there was some miscommunication, and I've already been to the BLM and paid them. I didn't know if Allen had included the personal charges in the delivery charges. And so in subsequent conversations I had with KMEE, no, he didn't think he needed to, and I said, well, yeah. If it goes on personal property rather than the ranch property, then we're required to pay. And the agreement that we came up with, 4 or 5 years ago as far as gravel goes, I don't know if you guys got my email about, you know, we decided 100 yards per year per lot owner, something to that effect. They went over, they were subject to several years, but it was 50 cents a yard to the ranch, 50 cents a yard to the BLM. And so when I went and paid the BLM the other day, and I don't know, did you get my money?
I did. Okay. It's on record.
I went and paid the BLM the other day, and what the lady told me there was, you know, I kind of explained the whole thing about the communication, and she said, look, what we'll do is just issue a permit, or a gravel permit to each individual. Or if the ranch wants to take Paul's list, master list, send a billing out to the individuals and say, hey, you need to pay us. For example, the Burns, I think they got like 270 yards or something like that.
No, I don't know, 34 loads.
Oh, okay, they got a lot more than that then. So, whatever, you send them a bill for $500, then the ranch turns around and takes the collective amount that they get from all the private property owners and cuts a check to the BLM for, you know, they have 50 cents a yard.
Okay, well, that's here's my concern. I mean, we've got 4,500 yards.
$7 to crush it, another dollar between BOA and the BLR. I mean, we've got $30,000 sitting up there. My own concern has always been, and originally, as a board member, I didn't commit and was hesitant to commit to that hard gravel, because before we know, by springtime, it's all gone. And then who took it? I mean, it's not in a fenced area. It's not a place that we can't keep ranch members or neighboring ranchers or anybody from hauling up scoops here and there. And so it's a difficult thing. However, seeing the other side of it, I think that in the future, I don't think it's good for DSROA for Phil Hall to call and get a permit for a little and Brent go get a permit and 12 other people get a permit, because the BLM people are going to start getting driven nuts. If it's our gravel on our land in the future, I think that DSROA, and I hate it, but I think Paul's got to take responsibility to say, we will take requests, we will work directly, because really, I thought that Alan Steed would go get a permit. He's the contractor, he's the one getting it. He's made it pretty clear, hey, I'm just doing the job, and if nobody gets a permit, somebody gets in trouble, it's not my fault. And what's going to happen is, you know, we're all going to get in trouble. And so I did. I talked quite a bit with the BLM to, you know, smooth it over, not overcommit, but let them know that, hey, we'll work it out. And after that, he said, hey, we're not, you know, they'll weigh it, measure it exactly if it's a little bit off. But I think to make it right now, we need to guesstimate out, you know, 4,500. Is the ranch going to use, well, I mean, Phil's already used almost, you know, 13 or 15 of that, and a couple other people have, you know, taken that. And that's the thing is, we don't want to go and what we should do either way, because it doesn't cost us anything, is I think fill out a permit from DSROA for like 3,000 yards. And so we're covered between the 1,000 that Phil has paid for and what you've done and maybe a couple of these other members, so that at least we're straight with the BLM. The BLM, and then our material privately, we try to be fair with each other, but the BLM then, you know, if they see a permit for Phil for 1,000 and us for 3,000, a couple of them, they're going to say, okay, at least this round of crushing, you know, the BLM straight. And then, because that's a big fear, because it is their material. They could, I think, you know, it would be hard for us to argue. They came back and said, look, you mismanaged it. You didn't take care of it. We're not going to let, you know, we're going to even charge DSRA even if it's going on your private roads. And we can argue it can go on that property. But it's a little bit of a stretch in something that we argued to get to be able to haul it from that property at the north end of the airstrip to ranch roads in Podunk or Slide Canyon. I mean, technically, they could argue and say, no, that's not on the same property, even though it's owned by the same people. And so they've been good to work with. So we, you know, one, as an action item, Paul, you fill out, get a permit for 3,000 yards, that's $1,500. No, doesn't cost us anything.
We wasn't paid anything.
Right, cost us zero.
Or
you fill out a permit for 3,000 yards to ranch roads. And like I said, right now, Phil's already used 1,300 of it on ranch roads. He's going to take 1,000 to his own property when he can get in there, which may now be springtime. But I think let's cover the balance of it and so that the BLM's not mad at us. And then they'll go back to sleep. And if he asks me, I say, hey, you got the permit. We're still haggling through, and weather permitting, who's going to
be my whole argument. I don't care who's buying the material. Is the BLM satisfied?
That will satisfy the BLM. Second thing, number two, where we're involved in it more than I, but I see no other way to do it. I think, you know, Brent, if you will agree, and Paul, to watch up there, and I'm not saying, I mean, I know you, and you know your neighbors and people that are using it and stuff, but we watch it, and so that we know if a substantial amount is being hauled or somebody's in there, who's it going to, make sure that, yeah, that sounds legit, yes, they've paid, you know, I mean, I don't question Brent at all, and I saw your check, so I, you know, Brent's already paid for his, but other ranch members or wherever, that it doesn't.
Somebody right next door is paying about 6 bucket loads without asking.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, they still have 143, there's a contractor in there, Bill, and they put them on the road.
Well, but yeah, a few scoops there. I told you the main thing is if you take a photograph, it's easy later to say, all right, about 12 feet long and 100 feet wide, and they put about 4 inches in there and calculate and send them a bill.
I have about 5 pictures. I have about 25 pictures.
Okay.
I'll continue to document.
I think they're going to start crushing, you know, crushing 2,000 yards. I think that's what they said.
So he didn't move the crusher?
No, he's still there.
Okay, so he is planning on doing more.
I thought he was going to pull out two, but I just talked to Al the other day, and they're talking about crushing another 2,000, 2,500
yards. Well,
do we need to get 5,000 yards?
I think we better pull five.
Okay, amend that to five.
I'm trying to get something online. And then with Alan and everybody, there's quite a few people there right now that I don't think anybody can take anything really
without
somebody knows.
And if somebody has a pothole and takes a yard or something, you know, we don't care about that. It's only, you know, Alan or some of the other contractors is going to start taking, you know, dump truck loads at a time.
I really think that springtime comes around. That's when
we need to start watching it.
I agree with Pat. If we can put some kind of sign in there, especially on the key post.
Yeah, if there's just something that just says, hey, check in, call if you,
written
permission.
He's kind of pulled aside some big boulders like this to kind of go around so nobody can get any equipment.
Now, the thing that the BLM told me, though, what he said, that technically, he said, and like I said, I know he's already been up there since you and I talked, and we'll be up there. He said, technically, if anybody leaves there, whether it's a pickup truck or a dump truck or a backhoe with gravel in it, they're supposed to have written permit on it. So they're either hauling under Phil Hall's 1,000-yard permit, or they're hauling under DSRA's permit, or Brent's got his own permit. And so we just need to let people know that, you know,
permit required for access to the
site. Permit and written permission or whatever, just so that
this material has already been purchased basically under CL.
Yeah.
Private property.
Well, and same thing. Alan's got already got the biggest dollar amount, you know, outlaid in the crushing of it, and so, you know, he really, if it's going on roads and driveways and stuff, he's the one that's going to be wanting to regulate and make sure he gets paid. If he'll help cooperate with us, but we'll make sure he gets paid on his end if we know what's going on and vice versa. So I think that'll handle the BLM.
I'm not concerned with if the ranch is going to buy any or who gets what. It's
okay
that we're straight with the BLM.
You'll get one of the other 5,000 next time you're.
How much is that going to cost?
Zero.
There's no,
if you need help, you know, but it's to DSRA to be on DSRA roads. It's a free use permit, but it's still a written permit. You have to apply.
And then will you also get that list to
go talk to James and interview, because he asked me. He doesn't know you. Go and interview James Holland.
Okay.
Go introduce yourself to him so that he knows you. By faith, and then, you know.
There's a couple of points you should know about. One is, when all this started, we started talking about this over a year ago. The issue of permits was talked about back a year ago. Whether it was forgotten or ignored or whatever, that's...
What was the decision then? Because I don't remember, other than until this summer, I remember in this bottom room, Paul running and talking about Phil making this offer to upfront the money.
Well, yeah, and what we did is in conversations that I had with Phil and Alan, you know, there were thoughts about permits. And I explained to them, and Phil already knew, but I explained at the time that if it's going on ranch roads, a permit needs to be obtained, but that we don't have to pay for it. And probably somewhere in all the translation of this is where the whole thing kind of fell apart. And in all actuality, I think your idea of the ranch being at the center of this thing is really the way it ought to be, rather than individuals going in and getting, you know, a permit. I know when I used to go in and get permits for the screening of gravel, I would go in and because I was taking care of the roads, I'd go in and represent DSROA and get the permit under DSROA's name. And then the individuals would pay for it. But anyway, it's not really a big deal now. Let's just get it taken care of. That's the first thing. Second thing is Paul and I have already discussed security or watching over the pile. I don't go by there every day, but I go by there frequently, and I will keep, you know, keep an eye out. And if there's any unusual activity, obviously if I see somebody doing it, you know, I'll stop and find out. But if I, or I'll ask Paul or whatever, or if I see some material missing, I'll make a note of that. The third thing is, and I keep partnering with this on to Alan, is that crush has got to be gone before the dead of winter chips in here.
Yeah,
I mean, I'll be parking outside and snowshoeing, snowmobiling, whatever, to get in there. I pulled my trailer out the other day and tried to get up that hill after going making the turns, and just the trailer was empty, and I was in four-wheel drive, and I still had a hard time getting up the hill because it's icy and the whole nine yards. If I had a straight shot, it would be a whole lot easier. So, and I keep talking to Alan about it, and they keep saying, well, yeah, we'll get it out of there, we'll get it out of there, we'll get it out of there. But anyway, I'm pretty adamant about it. Before it gets hard and heavy, it doesn't need to get out of there.
What's the time frame?
Well, you know,
I think there's only one guy that knows that.
The last year's snow.
Three feet of snow will really make it. And the other thing, too, is even hard. That little snow cat of mine, that's pretty good. But it would even be hard for me to go down and do these 90-degree turns with that snow cap to make any headway up that steep hill or out of the gravel pit.
So when you say you need it out, do you need it out within 3 days?
I need it out before, you know,
before they
need to make plans to get it out of there before we get a lot of snow.
I don't think it's going to snow.
Within 30 days?
You know, I keep hearing that from everybody, and that's fine and dandy. But, you know, these are all speculations. My thing is that if we have one of those snowstorms come through that dumps 2 and 3 feet of snow, you know, I mean, if I see it coming, I'm moving everything out of my place. You know, I mean, my trucks and stuff, so I can get to them. And I'll deal with it. That's not the point. The point is that it'll make it a whole lot easier for me. And I don't know what the plan is as far as our snowmobile parking lot or what we're doing this year. We're doing it the same as we've done in the past, or if we're going to just stop at the end of the airstrip and I'll take care of whatever. But anyway, it needs to get out of there or I'm going to have a heck of a time.
So on the board, we should just, addressing the board, we should pick a date to tell Alan that that needs to be gone by.
Well, we've got Tuesday's not going to put down 3 feet of snow. It's supposed to snow, but we'll pretty get a skip. Let's see what he can do in the next, you know, 7 to 10 days. And then see if he can get it out there.
Is that about how long it takes him to do 25 miles?
Oh, they crushed this.
He could easily do that much in a week.
So if we said by the end of December?
I would like to say give him until the 20th
of December.
Yeah, 20th. Yeah, that's 10 days. Yeah.
Well, if you two are the ones that are talking to him, just keep encouraging him to have that out by mid-month.
I don't even care if he gets the whole thing out, as long as I get it stretched out.
Well, if he's finished driving, even if he doesn't pull it out, but gets it disassembled and off the side of the road, and
that's
whatever, he
might
just establish
a
decent road to get
it out there.
So they can go and chew Alan and say that we have the board support if you pass it out by the 20th.
Move out of the way.
Yeah, that's what I mean, out of the way.
Yeah.
Off the road.
Okay, then the last issue is, you know, what does the ranch want to do, on Bill Hall's offer? I was not involved, in the budgeting and stuff for road maintenance and stuff next year. I hear what Phil's saying, that if we have money and we're going to do stuff next year, we're just as good or better to put some of that down, you know, this fall while we have, if we're going to do road improvement, there is some definite patches along Meadow Canyon that's the main use road that would be top priority.
Don't think they'd get up there. Larry said that Meadow Canyon Road should be widened a little bit and contoured before you spend several thousand dollars.
I'm sure that above the meadow. Well, that's one of the things I think.
The road base needs to be changed.
Yeah. From the farm top where it takes you the oaks, we all love how nice it is in the summer, but it's now rounded enough and narrow enough. You can't pass two cars in a lot of spots up through there. And some of that should be worked out a little bit before we...
We need to cut out some trees.
Yes.
Oh,
entirely.
Through those oaks.
Yeah.
And then the parents, if the grounds are thrown enough snow, that the road cannot be support to receive any prep.
Well, that may be, disagreement of, Phil or Alan, but I agree we don't want to invest, money, whether it's our money today or Phil's money today and our money in the future if it's not done right, or whatever it is.
Well, we're talking about that, I got a question. I need to widen the road to my place about 200 feet. It's on Lee Gantmeyer's property, but it's... it's getting so narrow now that I can get through there, but it's even a hard stretch to pull my trailer through there. I haven't done anything with it because it's essentially on his property. And I have one. What?
You got your 33.
Well, I don't, but I'm respectful. Should I contact him and talk to him because I might have to cut a couple of trees out? I'd like to move it away from the hill a little bit, but it's going to take me
taking out some trees. Are you happy Trump will do that? Would you rather? Here's my position on it. I think that the lot owner, even though there's a 30-foot easement, most of the roads are not in that 30-foot easement down along the lot line.
Right.
It's wandering in my lots every time I go up, and I've dealt with it before, and I go up and, somebody's widened it 10 feet and removed a bunch of trees. I would have liked to have been, involved in the decision on that, and I agree the same thing. If the lot owner, if it's a neighbor and you're good to work with, then I think that, you have the board's blessing and the contact, or if it's somebody that you don't want to and you want the board to do it, then...
No, I'm
happy to contact.
I'll be happy to talk to me. That's not the issue. I'll be happy to do the work. I'm not asking. It's a ranch road, but I don't want the ranch to spend money doing it. By any means, because I'm the one that uses that road 99% of the time, and so it's an issue for me. And if that's the procedure, then you guys, I'll talk to him, I'll give you guys an form, and just do it like that, if that'll work.
That is a ranch road?
Yeah. It's a ranch road.
Mark,
if
you forward the email
to Phil Hall, I'll just take care of it. I don't want to ruffle any feathers. And I know, basically, what I'm trying to do is, I know that we've had issues up on your property before. And I don't want to do that. And I know, of course, I'm a dead-end lot, but I know that I wouldn't want somebody to go through and do some stuff on my lot.
I mean, the lot owner is still the lot owner. Even though there's an easement, somebody at least, I don't think any tree should be cut on anybody's lot without that loan owner at least being aware of it. Having the right to say, yeah, I agree, you have my blessing, I'll help you, or hey, take 10 on that side of the road, please don't take a 2 on this side of the road, because that, is my visibility screen from where I'm planning on building or something.
Right.
So, I knew that one. So, do we just, arguing for Phil, I would like to not table this at all and just tell Spring, if we can at least give him some, it's too frozen, but we will agree to.
I have kind of a suggestion. There's a couple spots, 3 or 4 spots along the airstrip that when it rained or when the snow melted, it got really bad. A lot of it was now Steve's truck running through there. Do I have permission to get a few loads delivered? I can get some ranch grader to smooth them out through there. There's a spot where the culverts. Exposed. Do a little maintenance on the road that we can and wait till spring to do some of the bigger road work.
You guys are stopping.
Right.
We're done.
I make a motion that Brent has the authority to call his neighbor and work out the contact us, keep us close and let us know if there's a problem, we'll intervene. So if you guys work it out, then we're happy.
Thank you.
The road you're talking about is maintaining roads for the snow season. It'd probably be good to take care of it because if it's one that's maintained, it's just going to degrade even more.
Right. If we don't keep them in top shape, some of those bad
parts I'm talking about along the area strip.
There are several. I agree. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Have some gravel developed.
Well, between you and Paul, maybe Brent that's up there more and consistently watch it. This is a question I'm getting, and we've had issues before.
how much of Alan Seed running his truck creates 80% of the problem? And I think that Phil has been over fair, a lot of times in having him do extra work and helping to compensate when it's brought to his attention. There's a lot of times that, Phil flies in and out and doesn't even know really what's happening with some of the
groups. Larry raised that question last week, that does the contractor damaging the road need to help out?
Yeah, we've made it clear before, and we've had this where we've directly addressed Alan and said, Alan, you've got to go repair this section. This has definitely gone over the, but I haven't been up there, so I don't know, if we get to that point.
Well,
he's trying 1,300 yards to his to Crawford. Has that done enough damage on Meadow Canyon Road?
Oh, I'll tell you, yes. It's beaded him to dust a lot of places. One of the big problems, well, I don't know if you remember when you had the Cinders Hall, how much that beat up the Slight Canyon area. And Alan's using them. He's got several trucks running, but he's got one great big 18-yard monster that he hauls. He's in long.
Blue Ox?
No. This is another truck. And anyway, it's a big truck. It creates a ton of damage. He was going up to back Kevin's with me. We went up to fix the radio repeater and the upper camera. And he's running up the roads. And, they're just beat to dust. And then here's Larry Meltzer on his bicycle. So I asked Alan, I said, what's going on this? I thought you guys were going to run Phil's water truck. That's what Phil's water truck was down there for, to put some water on the road. And Alan said, they weren't running. I said, no. And he wasn't there at the time. He had three other guys doing the driving. But that's one of the things that we need to look at. Alan hauled enough loads over to Lee Beller and over to Rich and Nancy Byrne and down to Rick and Nancy Milton and over to Duval's and over to Ormani, that going up and down that airstrip, along the airstrip there, those muddy spots, I think that we could justifiably say, hey, throw some gravel down here and spread it out. And I don't think we should be charged for it.
I mean, these are some of the bad spots you're talking about. It's really along the airstrip and over the culverts.
Yeah.
Mark?
I agree.
I
would motion that we definitely get the ballot on that.
And make
this happen because
he's good to talk to and he's cooperative when you address it. I'm just disappointed that he doesn't more often say, whoa, crew, this is dry, we got to run the water truck, and they'll just kind of go to sleep and haul whatever. They'll do whatever we let them get away with.
Right.
Is what his proof
just
is.
Like any contractor.
So I'm just saying, Mark, over roads and stuff, I think one of the times that you're up there that you can look at that so that, you've met Alan, I'm assuming, to kind of keep a track on that, because we've had some real issues in the past. They've been good to, fix them when we've addressed them, I think. But if we're going to be hauling this much gravel this fall and next spring, we're going to need to stay right on top of it and try to be fair with them and make sure that they're fair with the association. And, look, some of this work is at your expense because you're the one that damaged it, and then we'll, help to fund some improvements.
Right, okay. I'll see if I get some time to do that. I'm going up there today.
Is there something that we can put in the bylaws that says if a contractor damages the road or anything that they are financially responsible? Now, I understand this time we have a good working relationship with the person who's doing it, but in the future you could get a lot owner come up and just dump all kinds of their own contractors and just trash the place and they go, that ain't written.
Right.
Is there something
Ryan?
Put in?
Ryan?
Yes.
That's Ryan speaking, right?
Yes.
Okay, there. If you look at on the website, we wrote up in 2007 a gravel pit policy that covers most of this stuff. One of those is number 6, members and their contractors will be responsible for all excessive wear and damage to road surfaces. So I sent everybody a link so they can look at that again. We probably need to change a couple things in it, but we wrote this up in 2007, and it still reads pretty good. We just need to tweak the contact names and stuff, so take a look at that.
I think that we may cut and paste all or part of that maybe in one of the future newsletters where this is going to be – I mean, next year is going to be a big issue as a reminder to get that to all the members. This is to keep it in the front of their minds.
Right, right. We can do it like just make – I'll put it in some once a year, every year if you want to. But we have put it in a newsletter before, but it's been a couple years. So you guys take a look at that and let me know what you want to change and, you know, click, it'll be done.
Okay, that'd be great. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
All right, so back on the idea, we're going to have you put some gravel on the airport road immediately. We were discussing that.
I believe it should be.
Okay, but just to clarify, we're funding him to put it on, or we're demanding he put it on at his expense.
With the season coming slow for his responsibilities, you know, he can't get up to the top and all that. Maybe if we just have it delivered, maybe we may get more volume, and then he can spread it out on, you know, our time while we just get the contents on his time for damaging it.
There's a little, he doesn't just put a pile in the middle of the road.
I don't know.
I mean, yeah, he'll drive a truck and leave the truck partly open and then
and we'll need to work together.
There's two different issues here. There's just regular maintenance, and then there's building it up, you know, that spot where the culvert is. I mean, you can see the culvert spot on it.
He still has the
trigger loaded. No, I think he brought it down.
It's down.
But, you know, I could buy the material and just, you know, pay him for his truck time. Or, you know, I'll work it out, and I'll email you that stuff before I do something.
Well, I agree with what Ryan said. I would approach and say, look, this is damaged. The board's talking about, we're asking that you haul 3 loads, 5 loads, 7 loads at your expense and kind of dump it all spread it and stuff with the ranch grader.
Okay.
That sounds fair to me.
For dollar value, we're going to get more material and we have some of it spread.
As a good faith gesture, I think we should do that.
Okay.
Keep in mind also that they're saying you want the cabins while they're out there.
Yeah, working. I've created quite a bit of work for the cabins.
Okay, so Paul, we'll talk to Alan and get moving on that right away. Okay, let's move right into...
I can end my report. You guys see my daily reports. Is there something... I feel as long as there's no snow on the ground, I can brush off, I'm a brush on. But other than that, I mean, I have a couple other projects at the headquarters with my tools. It's for like really snowy days. Basically,
you gotta make tables for snow days.
We
need snow day projects.
You guys in agreement, sir?
I think your report's been much better.
Yes, it has.
Your choices of where you spend your time has been much better. So I think it's educational, Paul, for us to receive those and compliment you for some of the work. I do think that there's some other suggestions that could be made that would be more beneficial to the ranch. But that'll come with time and with our overall scope of assignments.
It's all communication. I mean, I'm open for discussion. You know, I'm closed off about a whole lot of things. If there's something that the board deems that I should be dealing with.
Well, I think you've been much more responsive to directions from the board. I think there are other specific things that are still being ignored. And if you're receptive, I think some of those suggestions could be made by the board. I think there's some discouragement that some suggestions have been made over and over and over, and you had chosen not to do them. It appears now that...
Well, for example, and I think some of that's a true assessment, and you and I have been about, I mean, Paul has, since the annual meeting this year, got more brush hogging done than we've done for 3 years, and that's been a...
Right.
probably our biggest bone of contention, truly, between you and the board, where, you know, and equipment or whatever. But this time, busted knuckles and broken parts, you're working through it. And it's not easy. Nobody's saying it is, but it's getting done.
I know. I think that I've talked to you about this, and I've said, because I didn't bust my head against the wall trying to think, why can't I do this? And I thought over the last 3 years, it's really hard to sit a piece of equipment when a hot water heater's not working or when a water system's not working. The first year, I mean, I was picking deck goats up. I was putting things together, trying to get things operation. The second year, just really rebuilding things, getting things back to good condition, to where I will to no man. This last year been a year where I could actually do some things. So I think, you know, this next spring, once I get the cabinet going, they're going.
And I visited with Paul and his future plans that I you know, I'm convinced Paul's. I mean, it takes a while to kind of, you'll get settled in, get comfortable with things and hit your stride. And I think unless Paul's hit his stride where now we can start really doing some projects and seeing the value of them. I mean, Paul's as excited about brush hogging as some of us were hopeful, you know, and we were excited to see it, you know, before. So I'm pleased with it. I think your reports are good. The only feedback, Paul, that, you know, I said before some to you and that I'd like to see, I like your reports. I like more photos. And I like to know what you're working on, but you always have a tendency to say, I'm starting this, and I'm starting this, and I'm starting this. What I would like to see more of, this is finished, this is finished, this is finished.
You know, it's like I started a field, and I finished
it.
So those
are things I told you before, and so as it comes along, you know, because lately, you know, you're cleaning up the tool shed stuff.
Yeah.
Hopefully, you know, as the snow comes in and you're more confined to indoor space and right there at the ranch headquarters. I'd like to see pictures that, okay, now the tractor shed that I told you I was starting in November, early December finished. And so just keep in that mindset of stuff that can be completed and boom, it's wiped off the list.
And about pictures, I really need it. And we've already budgeted for it and I've been kind of waiting for next year. But now that I see we've had success, then I might just go get it. I've been sending one picture at a time with this, or a couple of pictures at a time.
So what do we have as far as, just for me and everybody, computer up there?
The Dell laptop that Justin Hollis got for the ranch before I got that.
Okay, so it's not this one that Linda got. It's the only one that we've got in the last 2-3 years.
I think it's 4 years old.
Hey,
I was at Best Buy, and I was going to buy it. I called Linda, and I actually almost put it on a credit card. And then just have the ranch pay me and pay it off, but I'll just wait. But
on discussing some of the usage of time and completion of project, I saw the windmill. I think you need to have that thing set up there, but I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't know we had a discussion about the time on getting that put together. My concern is this.
Brush hog broken down.
Is it going to be blown over with just wired to T-posts in the ground?
I hope
so. And the usage of Alan and his equipment to lift that up into position, I was wondering when I read that, the first thing that jumped in my mind is use of Alan and his equipment to do that. How quick would it be to have Alan, if you needed help, if we had somebody who would help do the, hold the corner of the barn up while we go pull in, to have it be finished before they tips over. And as a total loss, I wanted some, and there was a fork that's sitting there, I don't know what last time I looked, what would it take just to finish that little project up? Just wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah.
We have a beam there to replace that broken corner. And it's the one that's bolted together with metal plates.
No, that's the corner I'm concerned about isn't the one that's bolted up with metal plates. The corner I'm concerned about is the southeast corner where the column with a beam that's going across is only sitting 2 inches onto the column coming up. Now, when Dave put the new roof on that, he said that he, you know, it was the solidest new houses that he works on. I have no doubt about that. I'm not questioning Dave's, you know, experience, knowledge, or faith at all. But I keep looking at that, and I look at it like, that scares me. And so when the buttons, I have it up at my place. I haven't cut it. I can cut it and square it up. I don't know if it's really necessary to do. Make it into a square beam, but I have a tree trunk long enough. If we put a good sonic tube in the ground with enough concrete, that we can use it as that column.
Put alongside the existing one.
What's that?
Put alongside the existing one.
We can either put it alongside the existing one, or we can totally replace the existing one. I don't know how close you've looked at the barn, but those existing, that barn wasn't original, right? It was moved there back in the 1960s or something like that?
Oh, I think it's been there for years.
Oh, okay. Well,
it may have been built out of some pretty used timber.
Okay. Well, I was talking to Wayne Robinson one time, and sometime he rebuilt that thing. Okay. And then a few years later, Val rebuilt, and then we did the work on that broken column with those steel plates here. That was like 3 or 4 years ago, and then I obtained those trees from the buttons, and we can either. But my concern is that the column itself has been cut into. Just like the post and beam construction, and I just don't know how stable that could be. We might want to just try lifting it up, pulling that column back underneath the beam, if
right.
That will work.
Right.
Now, Robinson
went through and put all those barbed wires and twisted. If we had that and take the weight off and then twist something that would then hold it in.
Oh, I did that.
And did it not work?
Oh, no, it didn't. And then I bolted some boards underneath, but it's only hanging on like this, so I bolted some boards so it actually sits
on more. It's barely hanging on there. We get the weight up over the roof.
Well, it helps some snow, I'll tell you that.
Right. Well, we can look at that. Sorry to get sidetracked.
I just trying to say, you know,
I haven't really done a whole lot this week. Just my hands been killing me. I wanted this windmill sitting on the ground. It's been sitting on the ground for a year or longer. Brought it down to headquarters.
Well, that's the thing. We
didn't have a project of mine to try and get it up off the ground. The only reason I had out of it is he has an extendo, which it actually could reach way out there. And we tried it with Brent's backhoe back when it was over there at the pump at the well. And just kind of started mangling the thing. So that's why it just stayed there. But finally got it over to headquarters.
And it was on the project, though.
Yeah, it was a board demand on Paul to get that moved in and straightened up so it wasn't get stolen.
And it got done, and it got finished. It's not laying down no more.
Yeah, so, but I see what Mark's saying. I mean, some of those, it's still the communication to make sure that, again, and Mark is present to know, you know, what's happening and to keep moving through all this. I think it's... I hope it doesn't blow over. I was concerned.
My plan is to go through each hole and dig by each hole and then put it in some concrete with a bolt hole.
See, that's one of my projects I got to do today up there. Is I got to secure our windmill where the wind's coming to take it out. There's a procedure you got to do. You got to pin the tails over usually so it keeps it out of the direct wind. So we had a.
I locked it.
I mean, I put the brakes on.
Yeah. There's
a way to break that tail, so the tail is laying flush with the blades. So it's that way.
Okay, good. That's one of my
processes
I got to
do. The legs go down like this, and there's some cross braces that go like that. I have two T-posts per leg, and underneath the brace, underneath is where I wire it. So it really, I mean, I'm sure it could blow over, but...
I just hate to see it wait. I mean, I don't know if
it's not pumping any water. It's just sitting there.
Yeah.
Well,
we spent $2,500 for it last time.
And it was on the list. That's one of the things that you've got to do.
Good.
You've got it done.
Now, is there, we have adequate time for Paul to go out and get the new laptop?
Yeah, we do.
I make a motion that we let Paul go out and get the laptop. Yes, he cares and can do proper notes. Also, along that line, with the new year coming up, Paul has now been supplied with 6 books.
That has one
preventing
equipment,
the
hours,
any hours,
picking it up,
or outside,
for
you
to.
So we could have a job,
you know, and
the hours of those.
When it comes, I'll get to see you.
Thank you.
I haven't got
it yet.
It's pretty
lucky.
I'll second your motion.
Thank you.
Yeah, when it comes in, if you just write the check to Crossroads, so the SRA, it looks like it was paid. Don't reimburse me. Just write the check to Crossroads, and I won't even pay it.
Thanks for letting us do that. It was 500 for that
stuff.
I've already
got one.
Okay.
Price.
Merry Christmas.
You might have asked by the student
board price.
Okay, so Dale made
a
motion on that one.
No, Tony. Tony.
So, I appreciate the feedback that I get from the moms. I'm out there.
Okay.
It might just be that I just sit on the brush off all summer. For some of that, you
know. Assigned from that. Over the last 2 or 3 years, you've been given certain assignments that are very visible, like brush off.
Yeah.
You have not done those things. Therefore, it was easy for some of us to say, if he's not doing those things, we're not sure he's doing anything else. So it's very unfair to you, but you put yourself in that position that you did not do some things that were so totally visible and requested, and so that brought criticism in the
right.
In the invisible areas.
Well, and the reports that now every board member is getting, I mean, that's been in the last 60, 90 days, not the last 3 years. So you get board members that live out of town that, you know, see you, you know, 10 times a year at board meeting. Other than that, they don't have any feedback or know what's going on. And
right.
So I think we're moving in the right direction.
It's very
definitely
good,
good,
very good thing. So, yeah.
Now, you told me you sent the mail up. I did not know that.
That's the picture in there. He's put them
temporary.
That's the picture he just handed you.
Oh, I did. No, he didn't. Oh, that's okay. No,
it's
where the climbing wall
is. No.
Just last night.
No.
It's where the climbing wall is when you enter the ranch yard.
Right.
Standing up, but they keep it clean and not get stolen. And if it doesn't blow over, it looks cute.
Okay. Hey, it's, when you come off the hill, down into the...
I didn't know what, right?
It's a great aesthetic thing.
It looks a lot better than the climbing wall.
Yeah. Well, and it's just there temporary. If we want to move it.
That's the thing.
Is it made so it's not easy to climb?
But I think that before we permanent, you know, we should, everybody, like we did the ranch yard, look at it and say, you know what, it really should be 50 feet over there, and then if we put in sonotubes and weld in things to bolt it in.
That's kind of why I...
If it'll stand there through the winter, let's see if it's the right location.
Let's make a good decision on that. We'll talk about that in the spring.
Anything else before we move on?
Hello, Larry. Oh, hi.
All right, so let's move right into item number 6. I think we've already beat the gravel pit issue up.
While you were on a transition, I know Ben needs to leave early.
Yeah, that's why I want to get right in here, because he has a time. He has a something he's wrote in there that you don't know how, but know that on your report.
And I need to leave at 10. So
okay.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
That's why I'm going to jump into that for you real quick here.
I'm going to ask you to break the part with the duck testing before you left through the
Why, we will. We can get through it. But this is really more important.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing's going to happen on Doug until I'm a little bit. But we'll talk about it.
Okay.
But Mark needs to talk about
it. We're going to jump right into areas of responsibility, which is me on the roads, which is fire protection, which I think we've already beaten up right now. We're going to continue to work on this. Ben wrote down here on my agenda here that we have a Title V application, or proceed or withdraw.
So okay, let me explain that. Linda, you got the letter. I saw it because, again, I'm opening the mail, so I sneak peek a few things, and that should go to to Mark. But real quick, when the county wasn't grading the road to the ranch,
yes,
we went ahead and made application, a ton of work. Brent put in a lot of hours, Dirk worked a lot to apply for Title V. We have Title V on all the BLMs within the ranch, but we applied for Title V from the entrance of our private property clear back to the Scutumpaw County Road, the end of the pavement, and from what we call the county road up Slide Canyon, because we still really have no legal, other than historic precedents, right to even grade that. So they did a lot of work, and we worked on it for, what, 2 years or something? It got to the point, well, so the BLM sent a letter that just came in the last couple of days. That's why I didn't get on the agenda. From Mark Foley, who is the new, he's over that. He's the head of the guy over Title V after a few Wolf left the office. Just saying, hey, I see an application here. The last correspondence was February 2010 when we told you we need a $329 fee, and I've heard nothing else. Do you want to proceed or do you not? If I don't hear from you by, I think, the 20th of December or something, I'm assuming I'm going to close my file. I talked to Dirk about it just because he was more, you know, I was on the board regarding Brent. And now the county is grading the county road, except they don't have the 4 1-mile areas that they're still fighting over. But, I mean, that's going to be taken care of. However, we don't have anything still bottoming the Slide Canyon. And here's my recommendation, the long and short of it. The fee would have been like $10,000. I just went through this on my own property. I did Title V with Mark Foley. It's not, you know, the funnest process. But Dirk and Brent argued that, look, this is a county road. We are one, you know, Deer Springs is 10% of the use. So if the fee's $10,000, then our fee for using that to get in Title V should only be $1,000 or something. And so they really worked with Harry Barber and got down this $300. I mean, I paid $750 for a road that's like less than 1,000 feet long with my application fee and stuff. And so to drop it at this point, and I've worked through all of it with you, Wolf, with Mark Foley. If it was with the current administration, we never even would have got this far. So if we just pay this fee and get Title V on the county road, or who cares if we don't, I do think that the Meadow or the Slide Canyon Road is critical, that we have the legal right to run our grader on that. We don't, you know, right now Harry Barber has been great to work with the BLM, but, you know, we get a whole different administration over a 5 to 10 year period at the BLM. They would be ticketing us and fining us and all kinds of things. For a $325 fee for them to go through and finish the application, if that's all, even if it takes a couple $1,000s over the next year or two, I mean, it would be a long process. I just think, you know, we've kind of gone to sleep because we were seeing what the county would do. Now that, you know, that's transitioned and neither Dirk or Brent are on the board, I don't know. Brent, do you have a different opinion?
No. I completely agree. I'm pretty confident with what the county's been doing now and the courts, and that we don't really have too much of an issue with Scutumpaw anymore. But that section of road, that Slide Canyon section of road, I think that is something that we should definitely pursue without question.
Chairman, I would recommend the motion to pay the $350 and
whatever it is.
Move on to
I was just going to make the same thing. I'm going to second that one definitely, because we don't want to waste the effort and time that's been put in by all in the past. That was very good stuff to do.
Back to the question. I agree. But how long is that permit fee good for?
This is just an application fee for them to even finish studying to see if they'll even give it to us. I mean, we're still halfway through the process.
That's another step that we need to go.
If we get to the end of it, then they'll give us, you know, we're budgeting to pay our Title V within the road. There may be some fee to maintain that. At that time, we can say, all right, we're not going to pay Scutumpaw, because now the county does have quite a title, and that's the longest section, will be the biggest, but we're going to pay this one. But right now, what we've made under one application, I don't know how to not follow through with one without not following through with the other. I think we follow through with both, then we can always drop one. They will get separate road numbers. We will get separate easement numbers on those roads because they are separate roads.
Can we vote on that?
Can we? Yeah, okay. So the motion was made by Dale. I second the motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
I think the only question is then who's going to follow up. Mark, you're over road stuff. Jody was asked before to kind of follow up on the Title V access up through Broad Hollow. Okay, so Brent, then it's you. So if you have any questions, Brent knows a lot.
Okay.
Dirk worked on it.
I like there as well.
Go ahead.
If we can get permit for Title V for that lower site, I'll go in on that. As an individual for the rancher that carries the whole thing.
Thanks.
I use that a lot.
Okay. We need to get that letter, though, so that somebody's going to make a formal request to that letter in the next 10 days or it'll expire.
Can do that, or unless you want to.
So you can just respond to it on BSRA to say we definitely here's the check. Just write the check and say we definitely want to move forward.
Okay, so Linda, please go ahead and make that follow through on that one, so we can go ahead and continue on the South Park. Linda,
I'm sorry.
I'm answering her question. And definitely pay attention to the deadline on that one.
Right.
I would like to say I would have to try to do that in the next 10 or 15 days, but my schedule is crazy right now. I don't know about that. Right in the middle of the hunt. All right. Kim,
hi.
Okay. Bear with me 1 second here.
And just on that, I did talk to Dirk, and he did say that will help in strengthen the county's position because they're still fighting those 4 1-mile sections. And if we can say, well, we have a continuous easement, it helps the county then because the county has ownership on the 4 segments, you know, but nothing for.
Yeah, I'd like to have a talk with that individual well, so sounds like if he's one that's in charge of the grading that goes all the way through that way.
He's the real estate, I mean, when it comes to easements and stuff.
But I think the county has greatly profited off of not being able to, not having to do the expense of grading that road for the last several years. I think there's some major improvements that need to take place. I think we're due that right.
Is that Mark Foley you were speaking of? Foley.
Yeah, Mark Foley's with the BLM. If you're talking this, I mean, you need to talk with the county road department.
Yeah, well, that's it on this part. Yeah, county. I want to talk to somebody in the county about that one. So, all right.
Mark, one other thing before we leave roads, we'll have to get Brent this here. We talked about a road from lot 112 to lot 200 because of ranch traffic and fire reasons, and there was going to be an application, Title V application, and clearance for that road. I don't know if anything has been done with the BLM.
That's what
Kelly's
saying. She did.
I got all that done and gave it to Mark.
So you're all moving that direction.
I am not, but she's
looking. Mark is.
You'll be looking at that. I don't know. I kind of like that issue.
Another request that's been made several times would be to take a road from lot 34 to lot 20. Paul, would you show us where that is on the map up there? Right there, across that BLM.
34.
Right across there.
Right through the wash?
Wash or someplace between those two properties so that the Johnny Brown people could come over into the Deer Springs main body or the... or if there should be a fire, up in that corner.
Is that old road in there right now?
No, there, you can see the old coal road's down lower that comes across into Broadhop. No, right?
Down there.
Right there.
That whole, Crawford Spring area have no escape. And they could go out toward Johnny Brown. I would put the road blend up higher. Up higher than that.
And higher to what lot?
Yeah, somewhere across from there. Closest way. You might just go down Lake Wash.
Yeah, that's even
through there. And somebody could deal with if ATV traffic started across there, it would soon develop a roadway, but we never encouraged that.
Maybe I can go through there in the spring and see if I can use Cassett with ATV.
I've walked it a few times, and I've been down through there. It basically runs from
for those of you that are familiar up in that corner, Fred Cyril's Upper Valley, and then angles down toward, kind of toward Robert's place, is the direction of it. And with a few, I mean, a little equipment work, you could take ATV down through there. You know, like you select a bomb where you jump back and forth across the wash. But
there isn't an existing path, and that would require another Title V.
That would be, yeah.
From a fire perspective, if you look at these roads that we're trying to get, to have more than one way out of an area is huge.
Well, I can tell you right now, the whole process, and so, Paul, if you do any work on that, the number one thing on any of these applications Mark's going to say is, go flag it so I can go GPS it, or you go GPS it so you can download and say, this is where we want it. That's the number one thing they're going to say, well, where is it? And if you say, it leaves this point, and so if you take, you know, out through there and put, wooden lath with the orange ribbon every 300-400 feet, you kind of flag down through there where the BLM can go on their own. And
is this something we can pay for the springs? We don't forget.
What they're going to want is they want visual to visual. I mean, they want a GPS coordinate for when you flag it.
Yeah.
They prefer that from one flag to the next flag you can see.
Right. So if it's a long straightaway, it can be flagged.
But if it's a long way, so it's not.
But this is the kind of stuff that a lot of times, well, maybe we're a week or two too late, but it could have happened. And then the BLM will work on it through the winter. And some of the times, and you could be here in town sitting at the BLM office, you know, and working through the legwork of that instead of doing it in the winter.
Yeah. I was thinking of the BLM. I talked to a guy, John Reese, works for the BLM. And you guys are probably aware of this, but I wasn't. That reservoir out towards Deer Spring Point out there in the flat. They say we can work on any of that stuff because it's an existing thing.
We do that. It's just something we've said needs a backhoe, really, to get that diverted in there. But we need to do that this spring for sure. So, I mean, that's
talking about the pond reservoir down.
Just right past the
Deer Spring reservoir, not out.
Not the Deer Springs Point reservoir.
Not out there.
They both need it, but
working on that too. Forgot that idea.
We can table those road issues for Mark so I can put them on the agenda then and have time. I'll get up ready for spring.
Yes. Meanwhile, I'll start getting pretty heavy into that and see where we can go. Okay. Jumping right into the Ben's discussion, can you talk about the Hunt's contract?
Yeah. Okay. So we talked last meeting about all about the issue of liability for when he's working on cattle and that kind of thing, and we went to check in on that. I also trust with Chuck. First of all, Doug is really, really happy with the situation we have going. He's really happy with the contract. I went through the notes from the last meeting that you had brought, Mark, on his contract. And I think what Dirk gave you, what you made your report on, was Dirk's original, the first contract.
Yeah, please.
And it wasn't the amended. So I went ahead and typed up this or inserted. Everything in yellow is what has to do with the new lease. So take time to read through that. There are some really big discrepancies in growth. So you ahead of time, he does have the exclusive contract for Pelham Ranch, so we cannot have any other on there. But let's go through that in a minute. I want to get Ben's go here. When I talk to Doug, he does not have any liability insurance on that business. He said basically he can do the work by himself. He doesn't need Paul or anybody on the ranch to help him. He's got lines of volunteers wanting to help him. He said, what he does is have them plan a relief prayer. Well, I know from being in that business for years for tourism, when you're dealing with a release of liability for horsebacking or any kind of outdoor thing that you do, they sign a waiver. It really doesn't mean anything in court if something were to happen in both accounts. So we're not covered with Paul. But if he was working on a horse or working with the cattle, Doug has no insurance to cover him if he were to get injured. Second part of that goes into the workman's comp that we have. Right now, Paul is classified as a 9015 code, and that's for him and Nancy to do maintenance through the maintenance through the cabin. It doesn't include anything on cow or horseback. Right now, another interesting thing, he's covered under the yearly payroll in an amount of $30,000, but she's asking this, and I didn't give her an answer, kind of like one surprise. She was also saying, we're not quite sure relevancy, but we'll have to figure that out. She was also saying that, she asked me, is housing included in his job? I'm like, what else is new with this? But what they're saying too now is that if your housing is included, they're going to attach more to his workers' comp, what we pay for that per year. So that's something that we need to address, and I'm not sure like, if he's in the house and it burns down, to make sure he's covered.
Sure what's that. Workman's comp is based on the salary we pay him, and his salary is what we pay him plus housing and some vehicle use
so
and some other things.
They have it down to $30,000 is what we pay him. So we need to include, if he is getting room and board for the house, then we need to include a fair market value for the rent on that to add to his compensation
if we try to rent that to fair market, it's going to be $100 a month.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, get the ranch house without.
It's a tent, basically, with a fire.
No, that's so anyway, going on. If we want to put Paul, if he does work on with cattle and horses around the ranch, they would put us in the new code as a 0083. And if we can keep adequate records, she can prorate the amount of time he does that and charge $7.46 per $100 of payroll for work of comp. So that's what we come down to. So we have to really decide, do we want Paul working around cattle and horses on DSR's time, or is that something really want to do it Paul on your own time, or do we want to go ahead and say, yeah, let's do it for whatever reason for our own time. You really need to go through the hunt contract to determine what exactly, and I don't think there's anything that requires us to have anybody from the ranch helping on a horseback. You can do it on a rhino. So that's where we're at.
From the
that should be the end of the general liability check. Do you know that one, Linda? Is there the rhino coverage, his work on the rhino coverage and the general liability as well? Well, that should be in the work.
That would be. How to classify ranch time and basically, if my ranch time ends when I go through the door.
Good. Question for you. How often now do you have to go out, if you give me an hour on that, how often does it happen that you need to go out and do the cattle and the on a horseback, for example? Or is it all kind of when the roundup come in and
horseback rushes truck? It's my son that does it through the summer. Like this year, I took him from headquarters all the way down to the Berea, and it was kind of, that was like my time off.
I just took time off
when he did that. But as far as, I don't have to move any cows around the ranch. If we were in the future, and this is why I brought it up, if we were in the future, kind of do some thing with people and their horses, if they come to the ranch and they said, hey, can we go riding? Can we move some cows? If we wanted to do some kind of cattle operation there, taking them from the well field out to the point. Let's just say there was six or seven riders that wanted to do that. Is that something I just turn them loose, or is that something that I go with them and do? That was why I brought it up.
I don't see a problem. I don't want to spend a lot of money and stuff, but I don't see a problem prorating and guesstimating. And putting some of Paul's payroll, put $100 of his payroll into this other code. So that if he's ever on horseback or something, we don't know how much it is, but so, we'll have a hard time arguing if there's nothing. But if we put $1,000 and say, look, he spends, a week in the spring and a week in the fall helping with some of the, riding fence or different things that may be on horseback. So we're putting $1,000 of his annual.
We have some.
That we have some in there.
They won't work it that way. It's accurate records, but she's saying you need to let us know.
That's accurate records.
Yeah.
It's all salary. He's based on salary.
So no one knows what day, what time, what hour.
Right. And at the end of the day, but that's all retrospect. Okay. He can keep track of it.
And the reports. It's part of that law.
And she doesn't assign any dollars to this other code until we use it. So we can allot that $1,000 to our books. It doesn't matter to her.
A week in May, a week in November.
Right. Because really happens on a ranch. I mean, it's like that. I mean, there's not an operator in Kane County that has liability insurance on their cattle operation. It doesn't exist. You know, maybe it does on a dude ranch in Montana that's a $10 million operation. There's not a Kane County cattleman that has, you know, insurance for everybody that's on horseback. And so making that transition, what really happens to us trying to be a little bit of a more formal organization, I think we just got to, you know, make some guesstimations and so that we're covered.
Just reduce the number crunching on that. So I'll be able to know what we're looking at. But you're thinking 1,000 a year.
Well, I'm just saying, it's prorate out 2 weeks.
I think something gets the ball rolling. As long as we're showing that we're not high delta, we have the code listed in their thing.
And I think it's good, like Paul said, on your report, start saying rode on horseback, rode fence, or push cow, so that we have in there, so we can historically say, yeah. But we can't tell you what day the cows get out. If the cow, we're going to get on horseback and we're going to go get a fence.
If we can produce that, then we'd all.
Yeah. But that's the problem. Yeah. With the stock going to be tomorrow.
Important, because otherwise, you will put that 7.46 dollars on the whole person.
Right.
If you don't have the accurate.
Right.
And you will be getting a letter in the mail saying that she added on the 0.083, but right now there's no dollars.
Okay. That's the code 0.083?
Yes.
So we can, but at the same time, as far as the lease, DSRA has no obligation to get on horseback. I mean, that's about, if we do it personal, if ranch members, and we coordinate that, and even Shawnee encourages that, then, you know, that's happy for anybody to come along. But as far as, you know, needing to, I don't think that Paul needs to, you know, push cows or anything at all. It is helpful at times, and I think that Paul, you know, to be covered, because sometimes he may write fence or some other areas or whatever, to have a token amount in there just to cover a major incident or something would be.
I think that's kind of one of the big areas that brought up the whole cattle thing is why, you know, we're so far behind in our fencing issues and our brush hog issues. Why are we doing so much of this when it's their responsibility?
Right.
You know, this is Hunt's out there. He's you know, paying us, but he's also making money for running cat operations.
Yeah.
So that was kind of one of my big things why I brought up why we waste our money and time when we have all these other lists of things that we've been trying to do for years that we can't get to this well. So.
Well, did we answer, because I missed the two meetings when that was discussed. I don't know what some of the other concern was. Like Jody said, I think that, you know, some of the things were answered because we were working off the old lease.
Yeah, let me go ahead and go through the yellow card so that we know we're up to date right here.
Is this for an amended lease?
There is an amended lease.
Yeah.
I think
this was the latest lease. I mean, if somebody, well, I just print off one copy, but it's on the website.
I think that's what you read to us last time, Dale. I think Mark just had it, the original that Dirk gave him, and he made those.
Yeah, Mark had Dirk's box of history and went through it and found a lease and read through it. But it was superseded by the later one when we raised his fee. I mean, and just historically, I've been through this a little bit before. I worked with three different operators, four at Deer Springs. We did this before. When I was president, we put Doug in the meadow. We fenced the meadow the first time. Robinsons were outside, and then we had Doug on the ranch all together. And, you know, Doug's always paid twice as much as anybody. And when it comes to dollar amount, I mean, he's paying $12,000 next year. We were getting less than $4,000 2 years ago. And so we always do that. But Doug's not one. I mean, he's happy. He's cooperative. He's easy to get along with. But he doesn't like the politics of it and stuff. And so last time, I went off the board. A few years later, Doug's gone from the ranch. We're back to Brent Robinson for 10 years. And so we've had no fence maintenance for 20 years now. We get Doug back on the ranch, and the second year in, we're a little critical that, hey, Doug, the fences aren't fixed. Doug's like, yeah, why aren't your fences fixed? I'm the one spending twice as much time riding cows. Our current lease, you know, we turn over fences to him once they're in acceptable shape to maintain. The only fence that has been that is the metal canyon fence that Taylor rebuilt late last summer. You know, Paul's gone through and fixed some of the down below the ranch house for the first time in 20 years. And once we do that, we have, though, a little bit, just so that the board knows, in writing, we've told Brent, Doug, you're 100% responsible for the fences and maintenance after we turn them over to you. You're 100% responsible for watching and moving cows. Between us, we want him to know that so that he's feels he's 100%. We've always felt like, hey, if we need to help him a little bit with some cows or we need to still do a little fence maintenance, we know we're never he's actually going to just take care of it for us the way we'd want it taken care of, you know, that we're going to have some time and still to take care of our fences. No, just to maintain our investment and for the aesthetic value. So let them all fall down is ridiculous.
So, and that is all outlined in that that he is responsible for that. But there are details that we have to get done. The improvement is not completed by the end of 2012. At least we will be given $2,000 per year discount until the improvements are completed. So again, on the March agenda, we really need to get into
the main ones are this Broad Hollow and this Half Moon.
He's already seen the improvements. Talking with him, he's happy with the way things are separated and how they. When you talk about a fence, the cow fence, they want bullproof, which there is not a bullproof fence.
Well, there's a difference between a bullpen and a range fence. A range fence.
You know, you look at some of the fences, they're not bullproof, but they do separate some cows, and he wants a bullproof, which we're working on. But as far as the fences,
I'll work with Paul and Jody if you want to, this winter come up with our priority for the fencing to do and the money that we're going to spend that's budgeted to make sure that Doug's happy. I mean, if anything, you know, and that's why I wrote Mark back an email, if anything, we're way behind schedule what we've committed to Doug, not the other way around. And so I fully believe, we need to continue for our own benefit and to live up to our lease to keep, working on these improvements and stuff.
Yeah. And he's really, really happy.
Yeah.
The other thing that I guess it came up again last meeting, too, on the overgrazing, and there was some concern about that. But I have to talk with Doug, too, about it. Like, he has more to lose than anybody else on overgrazing. He is the first one to notice that because I'm not a regular cow grazer. I'm not raising my cattle to take to market.
He's not trying to put pounds on.
He wants to make sure he has enough grazing area left for the next year, for the next stop, and the year after that, so he will be really on it to make sure we're not overgrazing.
Well, the other thing was the rotation. Doug said, you guys come up with rotation. I'll rotate wherever you want if it's for people to see cows in different areas or whatever. So, Paul worked on that some. We can work on it. But at the same time, I've heard, in the last month, and some of I've heard criticism that Doug's overgrazing, and I've also heard criticism that, I saw no cows out here. We ought to get more cows out there. And there's some areas that have been overgrazed in the last 10 years that Doug's, we have not grazed the last 2 years to let it, regrow a little bit. And so...
I told you, watch that one, though.
Yeah.
Win-win.
I really think the operation has been going off and pretty good. This next year, we talked about doing the branding and everything down at headquarters as an activity. And, he's excited. I think the ranch should be pretty excited.
I don't know how we weigh through, for those of you that are real... I'm pointing at you too, because those comments always come. I mean, and I understand. I mean, I was born and raised, I grew up in Kanab, and I've never lived in Southern California or Phoenix or whatever. The litigious, I mean, I understand the liability side, but if we bring Brandy in, we have members there.
I know.
There's going to be a chance that some kid's going to get hit in the side of the leg and blow out his knee because a calf ran into him. It didn't happen. But we still, and I keep arguing every time. At DSRA, we won the donkey lawsuit because we didn't have a lot of rules, and every time we want to write rules and regulation and stuff, it was easy for us to say, hey, we gave no permission, you go do something, you did it on your own, it's your problem. As soon as we start creating and trying to pay for insurance, that's the thing is, if they would have known we had an insurance policy for something, the donkey lawsuit, it would have cost us and our insurance company tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars. We never would have settled that.
Were they even on our property?
Yeah.
Was that
absolutely. On the property. It was on the ranch. But as soon as we said, look, we don't have insurance. We didn't cover it. We didn't anticipate you're going to ride that out there. You're on your own. And so we've got to walk that fine line. And I know that in the business world, you say, well, we got to have insurance to cover it. on a ranch situation on our budget, you never will. And so I keep saying, we've got to be, I mean, if we know that there's a cliff, we need to try to post signs and mark it off. But then if somebody races over it and, you know, plunges to their death, it's easy to say, hey, we did what was reasonable and expected to warn you of that. But outside of that, you know, we can't bring Doug and have the branding there and then put up an 8-foot fence and say, you can spectator, but don't get close because you may get poop on you. It's a ranch, and people that have come there, I mean, I think that that's what a lot of people are attracted to the association. Is it a meat mill that we're slaughtering every day? No, but if they still can come and kind of feel that. But if they have to fill out 7 forms and a background check, I don't know how to, I mean, I understand both sides of it.
Yeah, I agree with that, and the things that we're doing here, they'll go off of my head all the time, because I've seen it.
I know.
And the first time it happens to us that we really get punched, it's going to be, okay, well, we should have, maybe. But until that, maybe, I don't know, let it go. But I just bring up the concern.
Yeah.
What if I were to put a sign at the front gate saying, enter at your own risk? You know, ranch activities, you could get poop on you.
Yeah.
You know, whatever.
Well, I don't know. I feel,
I know what you're saying.
You know, I don't walk both sides of
the sign up, but then people say, well, I didn't go through that gate. I went through the other gate then. Or there wasn't a sign over there.
Okay.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
I think we just need to be careful what we select here.
Yeah.
Well, has any of you guys ever seen that picture of the ocean cowboy?
Yeah.
You know, where it's got the...
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry. I totally agree with Ben on this. I'm not sorry.
Yeah,
let's
not get
after
that, Brett.
I
want a copy of that.
One of these issues that you've got to play a degree of ignorance. You know, we warn people, you know. I mean, it's like driving on the roads out there. You know, we have speed limits. We warn people that these roads are impassable when wet. They drive out there, they get stuck. You know,
just like the King County Sheriff who slipped his truck out there, you know, here in the last couple of weeks. You know, I mean, hey, it's dangerous. You're getting on the washboard road. People are, you know, I know half a dozen people that have flipped vehicles on their side driving from Deer Springs back on that washboardy road and lose control. Look, if you can't handle that, don't come out here. Stay in Los Angeles County, you know.
Just like that, when you post a beware of dog sign, why didn't you have insurance coverage? You knew it was a problem about a dog.
Yeah, they say that out there. You have a beware of dog sign, don't put it up there.
Don't
put it up. You know that you have a
right. And that's what I think we try to maintain and stay safe and keep our stuff safe. And then,
but stay in there's a lot of different things.
Even though that's the way of life up here in Canada, most of our members are not from Canal.
I know.
And some of us might be the first to sue. We just don't know when the Patrick Cross that bridge when we get there.
Yeah.
Back on the subject of leases for grazing and so forth, I've never seen an answer to this yet. A couple months ago, Ollie Lundgren came down to one of the members. He says, be prepared because I'm bringing in several hundred head of sheep next year. I shall have a lease on this land.
Paul can handle that. He was there and talked with Doug. Paul was there. I think Brett was involved when Ollie was dismissed from the ranch and his lease. And there was talk of paying him a cash settlement for him to leave. I'm not sure if that happened or not, but that was what he had. And I'm overgrazing. If Ollie wants to call me, I'm happy to discuss that with him.
So he just said he's going to show up. So I just thought
Ollie said a lot of things.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Ollie can't meet his half the commitment that he does tell you he's supposed to.
Well, I understand that as much as anybody, but also I understand that he does a lot of things that he thinks are exactly right.
Yeah.
And he does them anyhow, and all of a sudden we can have a real situation.
Well, he's warned Doug of that. So Doug's aware of it. We'll handle it if needed. Any last questions for me?
Appreciate your
I'm sorry, guys.
Thank you, Matt.
Appreciate it.
And I will be the whole meeting.
Glad you're 100%.
I don't know about that. Definitely.
All right. Moving on,
we're at 10 o'clock.
We're at 10 o'clock
there.
Yeah. All right. Water resources management. Dale, everything to input right now?
I think the question is whether the board wants to do anything or not. It can coast along in total silence. The possibility of looking at all the water that's flowing up there, whether
We need to do a trench drain along below the red reservoir and pick up all the water that's escaping from the reservoir, put into a pipeline for future irrigation purposes is one of the questions that needs to be addressed. Or what to do with the irrigation water. You and I looked at that big flow of water about halfway down through the meadow and decide on how we pick it up and where we put it. I think a lot of that could be controlled by doing a trench drain immediately underneath the red reservoir to pick up that water before it starts to spread.
Would that affect the Metacan spring at all, do you think?
I don't really think so. I think the Metacan spring comes from a much deeper
source. Much deeper source. What, how many gallons do you think we get to actually harvest?
Right. 400 gallons a minute flowing.
Really?
About midway down the wet meadow.
Right.
A tremendous flow of water.
Right.
Well, yeah, that is about huge.
It's about crossing the old cabin.
Yeah,
right. Yeah. I walked it extensively, and I understand that.
Mind-boggling, man. The other thing we have to do is just mind-boggling how much water is just flowing out there.
So, possibility, you know, of getting in there and technically, engineeringly look at it and decide on what should be done.
Now, here's some things, too, that I know that if we use to manage that water a little bit better, we can get a better production out of that meadow.
Sure.
Right now, the way it is, it's just creating willows and wire grass because it's over water. And if we top that water and moved it and collected it, there's so much things that we could really do with that water. Something down the line we talked about it, production maybe a alfalfa or something, I think used to be in that field at one time in history. Is it not there?
I would say not an alfalfa. It's too high for alfalfa, but it would be a grass hay.
So, you know, there's lots of...
Grass hay has some harvested off that meadow.
That would be easy to collect that stuff and really use that stuff. And I don't think there would be too much of an issue.
On a maintenance standpoint, if you look at kind of where the water goes, and, you know, right, where the willows are. The willows are just growing like they got Miracle-Gro bark. If we could control that water to where... Hey, you know, this year some roses or some oak came up and we can mow it and not have to worry about water issues. That whole meadow could be maintained, I feel.
I know that we've done this up on Lot 1. We took out, we took out all the willows that were affecting us right on top of the spring to the Johnny Brown area. We took all those out and dosed them out of there. We cut them with a brush hog, we've dosed them out of there, we've burned them, and actually picked up water in our spring for feeding that area. Okay, there's a lot of water. If we can get rid of that stuff there and capture this and come in and put a fresh drain up there. I would like to, see Dale make some kind of move to that area to see what it would really take to get that, or what kind of study can we do? I don't know, Dale.
Let me bypass that just for a second and come back to it. We're still doing work on the development of the well and water system in Pipeline Canyon. We're also doing pipe and work on the well over in Slide Canyon and doing some work on the spring, Black Knoll Spring, up where the cinders are. So those three things we're doing some work on. Final thing back to what you just mentioned. As all of you know, I've done basically nothing on the water system in Meadow Cane. If some of you want something done, then I would require that you pass a resolution. Probably the same one that's passed before. And then some things can start happening. I'm going to attend.
Okay, not sure about that's not going to happen, but I'm thinking, during the time not to interrupt you and not to be disrespectful, but that's not going to happen. We've already been through all that. The best thing that we can do to get these water things going is to start having water meetings. There's been some new game ideas brought up on the Meadow County Spring. I think we should all get together to see and look at, and I think maybe get together to see that deal. This is the end of the quarter, and we haven't got together yet at all. I see that's the only way I'm going to proceed. And three of us are ready to go on that with you, if we can get that started. Can we set up a water committee meeting for next month?
And if you want to.
Are you going to be there? I'm listening in. It'll be over the telephone. And I'll be in.
Charles.
Okay. Because we'd like, you know, everybody involved in it. That way we can move forward.
When will your time, you said there's three people here that...
Well, Vance is on the water committee, I'm on the water committee, and Bob on the water committee, and Dale on the water committee.
Vance is on the telephone.
Yeah. When would be best for everybody? Is there a date, a time of the day that we could be better than others? Can we decide on one?
Saturday is probably a great company. We're just going to have to go to the phone and the other conferencing system.
I would only ask, you know, just about any evening, you know, works for me, and I'll just throw that out there.
I'm open, Vance. Any evening is good for me after 7
p.m. We can organize ourselves via email and then have a teleconference. We don't need to,
okay.
You know, let's let the board get on with it, I guess, huh?
I agree with that.
May I ask who all is on the teleconference right now? Who all is there?
There's four people dialed in, or what, quite lately.
Is anybody besides Vance on there now?
Mary Schreiber is on.
Dave Turley is on.
Thank you.
Where's Colbert on?
Okay, so through email, you guys will coordinate a phone conference with the water committee.
Can you guys see the whole board on one? So four members from that one.
Okay. Anything else, Dan?
No.
Okay. Moving on, ranch activities from Shauna. We have Shauna not present, so I just mostly just
have an activity.
Awesome. So
your sled. I got some good spots. And off the tool shed is not one of them. I'm just saying. And I think when all the brush on has been done, it will spot a good spot to.
You study something like you said to the brush on.
It's not helping you.
Yeah. All right.
A lot of good open ground at snowmobile.
Okay. Then let's move right into facilities from the cab maintenance. Dave Turley didn't make it.
He's on the phone.
Oh, Dave, you are on the phone still? Dave? It takes a minute. Hey, Dave, if you're there or just waiting to log in, just there waiting to respond, just speak up and we'd like to have your
inputs or anything you have, any kind of reports you have on facilities, cabinet maintenance?
I don't have a report right now.
Okay. Thank you.
I will tell you, David Turley has done a lot of work. For one, I'm pretty sure he did the roof on the ranch house. And he had plans, I think, this summer to fix the roofs on cabin three entirely. And cabin four probably in the future. That's just kind of my end looking at his end. He is an asset to the ranch for sure.
Yes, I agree. He's done a lot for the ranch and...
I need to step out of the meeting. I will. Jody's going to call me when you're done, and I'll come back and get all the equipment. And if there's anything at that time that you need to
okay.
share with me, I will take care of that.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Okay. Then let's just move right into the legal and public safety, Jody.
Okay. Well, as anticipated, we have received response from the increase in dues. Heard about that already. While Linda's still here, I know you heard the response back in that it was time coming.
In that it was what?
It was time coming.
Yeah. I've had several checks come in, and on a couple of those they were like, we were wondering when this was going to happen. We know you need more money. And it was a positive response. And then a couple of, well, that one negative, actually, is the only one that I had negative except for what Jody heard. She's been fielding calls and emails.
Yes, that's it. My name and email were mentioned on the letter for people to call and contact. I've got some feedback from people, and I think we do need to take a look at it. A couple really great ideas have surfaced with brainstorming. I think, you know, we all have to sit and think. That meeting to put a budget together was to put it together for what we have normally done historically. So it wasn't a meeting that we could sit and brainstorm about new ways to generate income. And there could be some ways we could still cut expenses, not knowing 100% of exact finances, except for what I averaged. I won't know what those are until maybe we talk, like, can we cut something in one of the departments, one of the categories in our QuickBooks statement? Maybe we can. But as far as getting through the meeting and looking historically at what we have done in the past, those numbers that we put in place for the budget is what we needed. Keep the ranch status quo, maintain operations. Okay, that being said, now the time that we can think about other ideas on how to generate income and brainstorm ideas and maybe try to come up and think of a way to do that with as much membership involvement as we can. So I want to read you a letter. This is from, should I say who this is from?
What?
Should I say this is
from? Yeah.
Okay, this is from Brett, and this is voicing concerns of about, I guess, 4 to 5 other members that I know of
right.
that have contacted me. But he sums it up really good, and he's got really good ideas in here. Something that we can take. I'm going to read it to you, and then we can take it and dissect it, see what you think is good.
And before you start, now I might have to leave. I've got a job I got to go do. Before you start, everybody should know, I've already paid my dues at the increased rate. I am more than happy to... If it comes to it, there was talk of a $2,000 special assessment. I'd be more than happy and willing to pay that if it comes to that. I'd also be willing to increase my dues to $600 a year if it came to that. So for me, this is not an issue of money. It's an issue of fairness. That's all it is.
I think that's probably the best way to handle it. That's $299 in membership. Anyway, this is just a formal request, and that's the board. For this meeting. My request is that the board consider holding the line on increasing the dues for the year 2012 budget year. For your information, I've already paid my dues at the 2012 rate, and my request isn't based on my inability to pay the requested amount. My request is based upon creating a more efficient organization. I noticed the approval to raise the budget wasn't approved by all board members, and this is not a condemnation to the board members who did approve the increase in the dues. I just feel there was no consideration given to alternative forms of revenue generation. Again, we didn't have the time for that yet. And to be frank, I know that it would appear that this proposal isn't member-friendly, but it is, in his humble opinion, very member-friendly to the majority of the members. So he has, I'll continue on. I have a somewhat unique understanding of how DSR operates and what is required daily and annually. I have lived out here full-time for almost 10 years. I have been the on-site manager as well as almost full-time unpaid employee at the time. I've also served 18 months on the board of directors. So background. While my ideas will resonate with some, there will be others who will balk at the suggestion, so to speak. I have looked carefully at the numbers provided in a recent newsletter and also requested some generic information be provided. Therefore, I base most of my arguments around these numbers. I'm also taking a page out of the arguments going on in DC right now on how to control the deficit. We need to find new revenue sources and find places to cut our expenses. If you notice, I did not refer to the process as and or. The course seems simple. The board simply cut the budget to the bare bones, and there doesn't seem to be any additional places to cut. If that isn't true, then the board needs to resharpen the pencils and go to work. I remind you and the other board members that association dues are a tax, so you can also consider the recommendation for tax reform. But it isn't a recommendation for a wholesale sell-off of the ranch assets, nor a recommendation that we open our systems to outsiders. That said, I will start. I need to warn you ahead of time that this isn't just hard numbers. There are also questions as to why and there are solutions to the problem. We can email this to everybody, too.
Well, you can just set the high points, or I'll be happy to hit the high points, and then you can email us to everybody if you want.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Okay.
Do you
want a copy? Yeah, just
give it to me. Well, it's a lot of information, but it's good.
There's a tremendous amount of information.
Correct.
Here's the basis of it. I have absolutely no problem paying. I like having the cabin here. I've never used the cabin. I will probably never use the cabin, but I like having them there. I give my cabin time away every year to some one person or another, and so the issue of having the cabins is not, there. I want them there. I'm willing to pay to have them there and to have a stand, and keep them operational. My question is that when I start looking at the budget, I crunch the numbers, and I look at, we have a standby fee. For every month one of those cabins is open, we're paying approximately $30 per month per cabin in propane alone. When you look at 10 cabins just standing by, we are paying for $300 a month for propane alone. That's with no use, right? When you factor in what the ranch headquarters uses in relation to the store, the comfort station, the ranch house, we spend approximately $2,500 a year in standby fees for propane alone. Okay. I have no problem with that, right? That is my obligation. I think that that's fair. But this last year, you guys budgeted $7,500 for propane. So I'm talking to the board members. Dale, I absolutely know you're opposed to an increase in this. Right? Anyway, I think that, and I've included a lot of information in here on how much it costs to run different things and how much it costs to pump water and what the cost is per day. My point is that I think that we need this, based upon the numbers that I've got, 40% of the members are actually using the cabins. 60% of the members are not cabins. Now, that means that 60% of the members are, and you might or might not like this terminology, are subsidizing 40% of the members to use the cabins. I think it's because, we charge $25 reservation fee and then that's it. And then somebody can come in with 20 members or 20 family members and be in that cabin for a week. Based upon standard figures, the average person in Utah, in northern Utah, southern Utah is actually greater. Average person in Utah uses 100 gallons of water per person per day. Okay, let's say they don't use that much when they come down here. But every gallon of water that we use in our cabins, lower or upper, is pumped. So there's an expense there. Our generator, for every gallon, if it pumps 3,000 gallons an hour, takes 3 gallons of fuel to do it, roughly $10 per 3,000 gallons of water to pump. Right? So either we put meters on all the cabins and say, okay, this is how much water you use, this is the additional charge you get.
we put meters on the gas and say this is how much gas you use and whatever, or we charge a moderate per person per day the number of members or number of family members you had come stay there. So, for example, if a family of four comes out and stays for a week, they pay their $25 reservation fee, and then they pay $4 a day for 7 days to have stayed there. Or if one person comes out, they pay $25 and $1 a day to stay there. And that's simply to cover consumables, whether it's paper towels, dish soap, you know, cleaning supplies, this, that, and the other. When you look at the numbers, it doesn't seem like much to pay, but we have an $11,100 deficit, which is almost the amount of a 10% increase in dues that can be directly attributed to the members who use the cabins. We can, with a very moderate charge, shuffle that expense over onto them, where I think it should be, a user fee, a utility fee, whatever you want to call it, and or at that point in time, they cover that expense, and then I'm not burdened with that. Now, once again, this is not a financial burden on me. Whatever. It's important for people to know that. None of this is about my personal finances. All of this is about fairness. Anyway, I'm here to promote, what I came to promote is I want you guys to look at this information. And as you well know, I have a tendency to be a little sarcastic. And I also have a tendency to really like to write. And so there's a lot of information here. All I want you guys to do is look at it. Take it under advisement and think about fairness. After that point in time, it matters not to me personally whether you keep with the dues increase or you go back on it. If you decide to hold the line with this year's and not raise the dues, you can keep that $43 in mind because I don't care. It's less paperwork for me if you just keep it. All right? If you decide to go, I'm already paid. But I'm presenting this to you guys for you guys to look at. Joey can email it to you. I've emailed it to her. Give it consideration. Agree with it. Don't agree with it. It's not going to hurt my feelings. All right? At all. I just want to try to look at this thing from a standpoint of let's put the burden where it lies. And what I'm saying by that is this. I would like to have the road plowed to my place. Why shouldn't the whole association pay for that? That would be really cool, but it would seem like a subsidy to me, right? I see the same thing holds true for the 40% of the members who use the cabins. A moderate charge is nothing to them. The truth of the matter is the amount of money that we pay on a daily basis is really very little to us. But if we're looking at a way of overlying revenues, if we're looking at a way to be fair about the whole process, then I think we need to relook at some of the issues involved in how we address the cabin usage. And 100% behind having the cabins, 100%. I'd like to see more members take advantage of them, and I'd also like to see them pay their fair share because then we get more money. So, anyway, Jody, please email it to everyone. And enjoy.
Thank you, Brett, for putting that together. Look forward to looking at it.
Okay, I got to go. Sorry.
To see that there's not confusion, I voted against it because there had not been enough discussion gone into it in evaluating the previous budget, and I'll bring that up to the board after you leave, if you're going to leave. I think the assessment maybe should have ended higher, and I'm not, the cabins are not the main thing up there. If all the cabins were closed, you know, what does our budget need to be? So there's a complete overhaul that I think we've got to address on Dairy Queen Ranch. So that was the reason. It wasn't a matter of money one way or the other or use of cabins or anything else. I voted against it because I think that we're still not communicating and addressing the real issues that affect the future of Deer Spring Ranch. And I'd like to see us do that.
And just so you know, you're the one I took the page out of on the dues and taxes, because you said that to me many years ago. And that's it. But I also addressed part of those issues in relation to getting things done at the ranch. So that's also included in that paper and in relation to special assessments. I think the board's responsibility here of managing the budget is a difficult one. I've been on the board. I know what it's like. I know the problems you guys have taking care of the budget year to year and making sure we keep within the lines. I have no problem with making improvements to the ranch at all, and I'd like to see a lot of that information come back to the power of the membership, come back and say, all right, we want to solarize these. It's going to cost us $3,000 to do this cabin. Would you be willing to have a special assessment of $100 per lot to do this? Yeah, no problem. I have no problem with that. And there's probably most every project that goes into that's been proposed, I'll support, you know, as long as I get the information on it. But anyway, read it, enjoy, don't enjoy, I won't lose any sleep.
So thank you very much for your help on that. And, we had a crash meeting. I mean, we had the stuff, the paperwork drop off the month before, but like myself coming in new and Ryan coming in, you know, where there's a lot of things that definitely you have to overhaul on this thing, and I agree that you just can't do it overnight. And I think we can help critique, and these sound like some really excellent ideas. I look forward to reading it. That I think if we start implementing them, and we can maybe get this thing nipped in the butt before even the cabin round comes up. Maybe it is a good area we can pick up some shortfalls for this budget this year. I'm not opposed to that at all.
And he brought up some really good points in the letter. I'm going to read it too. It's more like getting back to grassroots. We've only got so much money to work with. We've got things we need to upkeep. We've got some new things we want to do, which there's no money to do that. So how do we end up doing that? Well, if we keep in the budget what we need to keep status quo, and then anything over and above that we want to do, let's do a special assessment for it. And between 299 members, that's going to be pretty reasonable for everybody. And we wanted to put the new proposal up. It's been, I was even attending the board meetings when that conversation started, was that 3 years ago or 4 years, I don't know. But maybe, at some point in the budget this year, cross it off. Okay, this year. Not all the budget this year, cross it off. This will be a special project that we want to do. Let's tally them up, see how much they cost, and then put a special assessment to it and see if the membership wants that, if people would go. And that's going to be paid for everything else over and above what we need, our little wish list. So he's got some really good points in there, as Lane said. He does represent about four other members that I know of. If there's anybody else, I don't know. But
I heard from two that they were happy or saw it coming.
Even if people are upset or like on this position or okay, we're going to live with that, we still need to come together as a board and figure out, okay, how do we address this for next year and the stuff we want done. So I figure no matter which way it goes, it's still not a dead issue. We need to keep going up. We can find the same as best stuff we can.
I'm still a firm believer in a lot of stuff that Dale's kind of talked about with some of these other projects we can do for the income. You know, we need to look at something good a lot, maybe we can put together to sell.
You know what? That's going to throw some people
out. I was talking to somebody just the other day. They said they would love to have a 10-acre park just the other day in Vegas. I'm like, I know, but there, what you can do, there's nothing.
When you think about it, with one friend's written in there, there's a lot to do with subdividing any more land on here in terms of changing the way Deer Springs Ranch as a whole is used by the county in tax collect. It could be then extremely dangerous to all of us.
Yeah.
Right now, we're getting by with paying almost nothing for what we have of value on our land.
There's a lot of misconceptions, Ken. We're paying more than we should on taxes, my improvement treatment. And I've been through the state on two protests on Deer Springs Ranch.
And what are they
complaining? They agreed.
What, have they voted for it then?
Yep. Okay. So we're overtaxed. because what they're doing is they're taxing you on your 20-acre parcel and all the membership in addition to that. So if you look at the forms that they send out, there's not a property up there today that will sell for $45,000 or $50,000. But again, I think you've got to understand the logic of how much value is there in the membership, how much value is in the land, and they're appraising your vacant piece of property out in West Lavovia for $20,000 to $25,000, and it will not appraise or sell for that without the association membership and the other things that's there. And so, and we've been through this before, and we won on two different occasions. I think we easily could have gone before the county evaluation this year. But I missed that a time or two, and nobody was interested, so fine, go ahead and pay taxes. But we could have proven the marketability and the appraisal on these properties up there if we wanted to. But I'd be very interested in reading Vince's analysis, and be happy to visit with anyone on that or the future requirements of your things and what the county, what do you think there's an expense tax wise? I don't know what he's mentioned in there, you know. Let's read and see.
I'm not going to chat to you next week. I'm going to leave that. She's going to email it all out to me by her, but I'm not going to have a chance for the next few days, so you might have a chance before that. Just to, she'll email everybody.
Copy.
Copy. Yeah.
There's a lot to think about for
how rates are increased. Yeah, and the simple thing, Paul's up there cleaning up the cabin after somebody's left. And we know that cabin's going to be, it's not rented up for the next month. What happened? What hurts to turn the pilot on?
Yeah.
I didn't realize they burned that much just on the pilot.
Yeah, it's not people. It's not people. But the other thing, too, is if we can go down the number crunch to the detail of how many cabins are being used each month, maybe we not have the cabins operational for a couple of shoulder months or something to cut those off.
I think that's what we tried to solve
with you. Yeah. Use them whether to do some cattle maintenance, too.
Yeah, it'd be like, okay, this month is set. Cabin 3 is going to get our overall this month.
What we've done the last few years is we closed the main cabin during the month of August, which is...
Well, we need to be smarter than that. We need to have cabins, when we know they aren't being used, just open for fall and go ahead and make some basic improvements.
I think I can, instead of like May... opening all four cabins up top. It's like open one. Three and four are being used. Be a good time to pay them. Gas isn't on. Water's not, it could be water.
We could also visit the membership that these projects are being done at a certain time, which is probably a little extra help. I mean, I come down all the time, but I never know exactly what's going on here. And I don't need to spend all my time just doing my project. I've always spent a lot of time doing my project. And I wouldn't mind getting involved in some group projects. If I knew more about it, I could spend my time better doing that. But I think it's a great idea to do some rotation on the cabins when they aren't being used all the time. The months that they're used all the time, then make sure that none of them are.
Plenty of downtime,
Right.
6 months to do projects. But don't do the projects in the middle of summer.
Right, and I think when we brought up in our last meeting, we talked about having Linda make a report so we can all find out what usages are available for these cabins. We find out that cabin 4 is only used 2 weeks out of the whole renting season, then you know what? Do we
yeah.
Now, are we going to talk about these things? You were going to, I got from the letter that you had done a little analysis on cabin use this year.
I did. And Brent has some in there as well, so I stopped because he was going forth. So I need to go back to his numbers now, and I just got that 2 days ago. So, yeah, I'll go through that with Linda, and we'll try to figure that out. We'll get a report on that.
And what are you going to figure out?
How much, what the cabins are being used at what time? Cabin usage. He's got all the numbers in there about how many overall have been used. And I want to know how much is cabin one used, how often is cabin two. I'll get the numbers and weeks on each one.
So
then
we can
pretty well determine what
it's
going to
be.
Right. That was a cute thing, Ken. I've done a cabin analysis by the last 3 or 4 years. Nobody's interested or has asked anything about comparing over a period of time, so now we create the wheel all over again. The
no,
same thing.
No, we're still using the same thing. You know, there's a difference between underutilization of a cabin and being able to utilize them more effectively. Okay? A lot of times when we say underutilization, what do we do? If the membership only wants, only 50% of the membership or 40% of the membership want to use the cabin. That's one thing, but I don't see any reason just to make sure the cabins are open all the time, so that the, I feel that these cabins are for the members and not necessarily public rental items. I don't want them to be that way because I think the liability is involved.
You're defending the wrong thing. The analysis that I've done the last few years is exactly how many members use it, how many days they used it, how many days the that a pittance of people, you know, using it that are non-members. But the important thing is how many days was it used. So it's just an analysis of what's happened out there, not to bias it by.
You still have a copy of it?
What?
You still have a copy of that?
Sure.
Can you send me at least one copy so I can look at it and just see what you have wrote in there?
It's multi-pages over the 4 or 5 different years.
Okay.
You know, and that's good because you did that for member usage, but now I want to go back and do cabin usage. So that's good information for how many members, and now let's go find out how many of them are used consistently and at what time.
He said what minutes. He said,
yeah,
what minutes are
required.
Yeah.
No,
he said
minutes.
Why don't we include that with what we've done recently and see if the trends have changed at all?
Yeah.
Well,
what's updated?
I mean, if cabin 4 isn't used for the month of May and half the month of June, why even have it open?
Right.
Save
so let's get your report and see what she can, Linda can put together because she does the booking and see if we can see a trend. I mean, if one cabin is only used a month of the year.
Yeah, let's use your historical data and we'll add this year's to it. We'll have good numbers.
And let's get information instead of just talking about it. So if you've done a report, that's great. And we'll get, I'll email her because I got to talk to her about something. And see if she can put together the for last year or two her opinion of what's going on, and we can put them together. Does that sound fair to you? Yes.
Yeah. That sounds like a workable plan.
I look at the calendar, but I think in May, you know, open all the cabins up. I'm gonna look at the calendar and see if 9 and 10 are the only takes me probably a day to kind of open and get things going. But I'm going to see how long I can just leave the cabin down in the spring. If somebody calls and says, hey, I need a cabin, it's turn a valve, fly a pilot. But I really wonder how long, you know, the cabin's going to sit.
But you really need to see in the future. I'm crunching this budget.
Well, and, you know, it's been brought up in the board, you know, and I are pretty frugal. We shop around, we price, and use methods that we run our part on our as far as everything.
Okay. Good. Can you move on?
Oh, I was looking for the other part.
Thank you.
Go
ahead.
Hey, Jody.
Yes. It looks like you guys might be wrapping this up. I think that maybe Brent, you know, it sounds like there's a lot more to it. You guys just read part of it. Maybe a copy of this should go under the meeting minutes along with, you know, so people can look at it.
Yeah, that would be good.
When you get a chance, if you email it to me, I'll make sure it gets, you know, under the meeting minutes so people can review it on their own, too.
All right.
All right, thanks.
He goes through a lot more information in the letter, too. And really, if we could get the members of the board looking at this stuff between meetings, so maybe next meeting we can come back and have some input and brainstorm about it so we can see where we can go with it.
And we can help start moving.
All right, we really...
what we haven't done in years, but we're going to start making forward progress.
What items do we want to discuss before we adjourn?
I think we still have...
Right.
Are you through the budget?
Yeah.
Let me suggest two or three things. All of you have a budget in front of you. Because I think this is one of the sins of Deer Spring Drainage. We make budgets, we talk about budgets, and then we totally just ignore them.
Like we just said, money today, one of them has not been on the budget before. So yes, you're right. You can count on that.
Are you referring to the waste money for that permit?
Yeah.
That money should come out of the waste money.
It should.
It will.
It will. I'm just saying that
was the waste money. Yes, you have all of the containment out with the rock and what the...
Correct.
So we would be able to...
On page 2, the two top items, auto insurance and auto expense. Double what, you know, what we had budgeted on then.
Oh, you're talking about a financial statement.
On the profit and loss thing.
Okay.
Dale?
2,500 of that was the purchase of the vehicles that we bought. One payment was before the first, and then we told Brent we'd give him another check at.
Okay.
Is
one of the things that we need, then, Paul, to have these things clarified or understood better. You know,
right.
That's part of my reason for asking this question.
I write this check, and I put the thing on the, I don't know what happens. Like
when I look at that and see, you know, that even in auto insurance, why was it double?
Let me catch up. I don't know where.
We picked up another vehicle.
If you don't know whether we picked up another vehicle,
I don't know what that is. Linda would be the one to ask for this.
There she's unfortunately gone.
It was in today's handout. Today's handout. Here's one.
Thank you.
Next one. The auto expense and the auto, if we're buying cars, I don't usually think that is an auto expense. Paul, do you have a sheet of paper now?
Yes.
Okay, on page 2, go down to tools. Why are we 337% over budget on tools?
This is something that Linda's going to have to look up in QuickBooks and tell us while she's here.
Well, no, you and I as board members, we approved. We've worked on this now for 3 months.
Yeah, but we can't give you answers to that without going into the file.
No, I'm not talking, I don't care whether it's green tools or red tool. I'm talking about respecting the budget. So respecting the budget.
I think it might just be categorized wrong. I know when I bought the DR trimmer, it was $500. That went into tools. I don't know why a lot of the things go into tools, but they go into tools.
As board members or members, everybody sitting here, we should ask ourselves, why do we talk about budgets? And then we have no idea what they even contain.
You know, they're all planned budgets. We can't sit here and come off the top of our head and tell you what it is, what's that.
I believe that this could be a categorization concern. I don't know how long Linda's been doing what she's doing. But you want to question the board on where things are categorized? I think that the board has to review the placement of every bill every month so we can then answer these questions. But right now, she could have mistyped something one time and it shows up funny when we're reviewing it. Until we know that everything got categorized as the board and we're the ones held responsible for these questions, we need to approve where she categorized everything, because if we can't ask her, you don't want to ask her, you don't want to wait for her, then we need to approve where everything is categorized. Until that happens, we don't know where it went. We need to ask her, what was it? Was it just, oh, there's a spot for it.
Example,
as board members, we've had this in front of us for 3 months, and none of us have raised a red flag to say, wow, look out. Let me go through these others. I'm not talking about anything specific, but yeah, go ahead.
Just look at the next one. Tractor grader repair, $72. Budget, it was $3,000.
I understand that.
I spent money on tractor grader repairs. The problem is this. You know, I try and keep to the budget, and I think the board knows that. When I write a check, it on my computer just doesn't just get in there.
Yeah.
I think it's really good to know. I want to know why we have $3,000 in tools.
All right.
I
could have sworn that was brought up when we were doing the budget.
Yeah.
Somebody brought up, well, we had so much this year, but stuff was bought, so we don't need to allot for that much anymore right now.
Yeah.
Actually, the tools was brought up during the budget meeting, so why it was so high.
And to go on down through the, I'm talking about the philosophy of the budget.
And I don't think we should ever all talk about the philosophy, but to attack a single item without Linda here and us not approving or anyone approving at the board where things got placed, I think that's bad. I think you should propose a repair.
Right, you're defending the wrong thing. No.
Let me tell you what I think I'm defending.
I'm not critical of her.
Either
am I. Categorized.
Either am I. Yes. In my opinion, you're saying that we should notice why the $3,000 one year and not the next. That's what I'm catching from you. I can tell you what I'm feeling, and you may be wording it wrong for me, which is fine. Well, you can restate it in a different way. But I'm feeling that you're saying that stuff being categorized wrong, we need to follow the budget a little bit better. Like, there shouldn't have been that much money spent in tools, and you're flagging that one. That's fine. But why was that in there? I'm defending the process because I don't think it was a tool per se. It may have been an emergency purchase. I wasn't here then. You might be, and I think you're trying to prove a point that we need to stick to the budget better this year. And I think we can stick to our numbers better if we as a board approve the placements of every bill. Right now, this is history. We can't.
Ben's supposed to be approving bills, isn't he not?
I don't know.
And I don't think we
have to have every bill.
I don't know. So we don't
have to
talk. But we don't.
I do have two QuickBooks up now with what was set for $3,000 during this year. So if you want to know, I'll give you all the videos.
No, I'm really not asking that thing.
You want to know what was set? Why are we that much over?
I have a suggestion.
I would think that we as board members should know some of these things, and we have ignored them the last 2 or 3 months. And I think that we need to ask that question. Let me call your attention 4 or 5
minutes. What is the question we need to ask?
You said that question, bring them up.
Okay.
Because I try and, I don't really know what the budget is when I'm spending the money. Linda tells me, hey, we're kind of getting close on the budget for that item, for example, tools. I have a suggestion, I think, working with Linda, if I'm close to $1,000 on tools, everything over and above $1,000 that was budgeted for tools, it should be listed exactly what it is. And either email to the board or at the meeting, it's, hey, we're above budget, but we bought this. Everybody's aware of why the budget is
Kind of I, that.
I see Dale's point. I mean, that is a huge.
Right, what I'm doing partially is complimenting your suggestion that some of our expenses should be budgeted out on a monthly basis.
Yeah, okay.
So I don't
think you criticize me. I just try to.
Well, I
don't know.
Objection to me drinking up, but let me just a little bit more to tell it. Tools is one. Drop down then to money for cookouts. And again, it's a mathematical thing. I'm not even picking up the categories. Here's an area that's 268%. Somebody should have said, why is that? Go on down to your legal tax preparation.
We know what
130%.
We know what that is.
Why?
Because of all the legal expenses, foreclosures.
Oh, no, no. There hasn't been hardly any money spent on foreclosures.
The legal fees for that.
I don't really think so.
Yes, there were.
We haven't collected anything.
I know. Okay. That's what makes
it good. I'm talking about that. If we've got that kind of legal expenses and we have not collected anything for 4 years, we have allowed some people 4 years.
Right.
And if you want to talk about delinquent, I've got a plank here because there's another $3,000 or $4,000 that we're not going to get. You, as board members, we should know that.
Yeah.
We should be awake and knowing that. So if we pay $1,200 for legal fees, have concluded nothing, then somebody's not managing that program properly.
Well, that's the collection of assessments. So a lot of the attorney fees were used to send out letters to those people, and some of those people have made plans. But, yeah. And why are we paying the legal fees for that when it should be bump back to the member?
Yeah,
we
sure.
have to discuss that. That's definitely an item to be discussed.
Need to talk about it because I foreclose on people quite often. I know how simple it is and how inexpensive it is and how to conclude it. Hey, when you have a sheriff sale, that's all over. For us to have allowed some of these people to maybe post sheriff sales for 3 or 4 years and get no money out of us is, I think, improper management on us as board members.
That's correct.
If you move over to page 3, about a third of the way down, it says a 20-foot container, we were going to pay $1,000. It went 400%.
Correct.
Why, how, when?
Okay. The cost of the container was, what, $3,200? You didn't know that much.
Were we that far off to begin? Why didn't we approve it? If we didn't know what we're talking about. Immediately below that.
Wait,
did
you
want to
answer or do you want to keep going?
I think it's proven points. I'm getting his page now. No, he doesn't care about one item. Okay. I'm saying as a group, we need to stick to our budget.
The same thing. As board members, we set right underneath that. We set aside money to finish head gates, to cabin doors, to moderation, to these different things. Nothing was spent on. Why, as board members, are we budgeting things and scheduling and doing nothing about it? That's why I come back to another suggestion, is if we have some of these things, we better say in January we're going to spend these monies for these things and then hold ourselves accountable for following through. 12 months later, it's too late to go back and say, why weren't the cabins painted? Why did we budget money and then steal it from there and put it someplace else? So that's what I'm talking about, the philosophy of the whole thing. Underneath that, we remodeled the bathroom 400% over budget for budgeting, and I'm not criticizing. The bathroom needed it. It's pretty much done now. But as a board, you can't operate a business with such a...
The budget does not tell the true story.
Well, right. And I know what you're saying on that item. A lot of the plumbing parts, a lot of the stuff that went into that cabin, or went into the bathroom, like I said, it is by 20 feet of pipe, that's pipe a bunch. And I don't know how to switch it.
But I
know what you're saying.
No, he's just saying right now we need to.
I think that was the point.
What we have is $4,500 for yard and some fencing for $3,000 that wasn't used. Down culverts, I don't know where we spent $6,000 on culverts when we budgeted $3,000. On down below that, we repaired some kind of a water system. It runs $6,000 that we budgeted $2,000. So I'm just flagging these things that during the last 2 or 3 months, you and I should have asked had taken enough time, with or without Linda or whatever, and said, gee, we like the budget. I also see on the back page, did we actually pay $5,000 income tax?
Why?
That shows $4,800
yeah.
in federal tax. Did we or didn't we? Now, as a member, I'd like to ask you and I as board members, just what are you guys doing? And if you don't know what is on the paper, then where do we go from here? What's $4,800 paid? I'm not aware of it.
What's federal tax? Is that employee tax?
Yeah.
Federal taxes.
I think it's payroll.
What?
I think it's payroll tax.
That's being
somebody.
So like that could be.
That's your federal like.
Withholding tax.
So there needs to be an explanation. Is that I would agree. If you don't know, then you know how much I know from a business standpoint. You know, I'm in. You know, federal withholding. You see it out of your paycheck. Is say they take $100 federal withholding. The employer usually pays about three times that. But no, I agree that we need to carefully look at this. We do need to take some time, and I think we should come up with a list of things and what they think work.
Well, I think I'd encourage the board for here. I mean, some of these things could be easily answered. You know, well, you know, why do we spend this?
Yeah, I think that's
the key of how to... No, it's okay. I think... it's crucial that we stay close to our budget. Because come November, December, we're always scratching our heads thinking, why?
This is nothing new. It's been going on for years, and I think we should get a catalog this year to be now.
Well, I'm hoping this board we step together and can curb these things and pull them together as a group and make this thing turn around so we can do, just like Brent said and others have mentioned, is where we can pull this thing together and tighten up our belt and make this thing work.
Well, the budget's a guideline. It doesn't really account for emergencies or contingencies that we can't expect. We hate to drop Peter to pay Paul, but sometimes that's what we have. That's just the way it works. But.
Now, for example, the culvert and the quota, the big one. That was an extra expense that we didn't plan. We didn't budget.
Most of that expense went into that one culvert.
$2,700 culvert. You know, it's easy to explain that now, but I think next year, I don't know how to do it on the QuickBooks, but if we're over budget, just right under where it's budgeted, hey, this is what the extra expenses were. So we're not.
Well, these are his categories. There's the explanations.
There should be some annotations, you're right.
Yeah, she's really good about notating on the account. So when Gail, you have questions, specific ones, when everything I've put that in there has got specific notes as to what it was sent for, and just she knows most stuff off the top of her head where I'm just getting into it, so I don't know that yet.
So for example,
so we can find out.
Expenses on the right on $1,200. This was last year, and everybody's like, $1,200. $600 for the tires, and then you know some repairs. But it wasn't categorized.
Maybe it's board meeting there. This should be one of the earlier items discussed in maybe about board meeting. But on your budget, and go over it and review it, and
we'll pass that on every budget we have. Every meeting.
I know, but I mean,
so we have we should bring it to life. We should have some questions for Linda.
Yeah, question for Linda, or homework honors, or whatever.
And a better way to talk to them on the like that.
If you get a rough piece of paper, then there should be an explanation written why that was decision was made. Because the budget is just a good idea. I mean, hopefully you can hold to it. Realistically, it's never going to work that way.
Right.
Sure, I know. I like the seller. He said, can you project? I'd like to tell
you.
We're kind of a mind kid.
real expensive to do that. I think just sit here and let it fall off with the thing or not. Just a suggestion. We can talk about it in an email.
The fence is already there.
I know.
It's done. Maybe safety-wise, I'm all against four-wheelers anymore. I have a bigger... I've had my grandpa's thing now. I'm tired of getting hurt.
Actually, statistically, there's more injuries per mile driven on rhinos than there are on ATVs.
Well, accessibility, trying to get down into a fence line, easier with a quad. Having it in to have the muffler welded on. It's broke. I have the piece. I actually got a piece from a scrap gun, but just, I don't know.
You need to mark the
muffler
part. Eat myself.
Anyway, that was a really sorry.
I'd like to sing up here soon. Ryan, you got anything to add real quick on your web development or whatever?
Nothing on that. I know there's pending bill for the FCC that it was miscommunication on my fault. When I was able to review it, that will be handled within the next week. It should be. Okay. I should see her again. So I'm going to get, I know she said she'll bring it maybe. I don't know where she's going, maybe she'll bring it back. Other than that, no, I just wanted to talk about scheduling some projects. Now that it's winter time, now we need to sit down. Like I posted on the internet, we need to sit down and what's going to happen when. I know Larry's supposed to, we needed to have the willows pulled out of the pond. Let's talk to Larry. Let's schedule with Larry. I'm sure he's a busy man too. I'm sure he would love as much leech time as he could get. And we would go off the money for it. Let's talk about in a future meeting, let's set up a time for that specific meeting to talk about the roads, the trailways. Maybe we can set a standard for years to come so they don't have to waste hours talking about a little this and that. Okay, these are the priorities that the previous board has set up. Let's work on these roads. I think we need to talk about when and where the money's going to be spent in a timely manner. So, again, he wants the computer. He had to come and ask permission. Can I buy a computer now? Well, yeah. You need to buy the computer. You need to buy the auger. Because I want to get the auger in the mail before it's back ordered, because every other rancher's buying an auger at this time.
That's not going to be an issue. And just to report on that, too. That's my dad. He's in the tractor group. Okay,
only a specific situation, like he was pointing out, but down the agenda. I think everything needs to be a lot of when stuff's going to happen, so he can plan for it. I mean, he's day to day. He wakes up and goes, "Okay, what am I going to do today?" That's wrong. I could actually be drilling a hole today.
Just to let you know, he's going to go ahead and post that on his tractor club thing. If anybody has any old used augers they'd like to sell, maybe we get a good deal on one.
And hopefully we come under budget in that category because of that. That's great.
How long do we wait before?
We need to talk.
If everyone's at the meeting, everyone's got their personal priorities that they want to have stuff done in a timely manner. I think that everyone should come to the table and say, look, you know what? We talked about this plan. This is the one I've been thinking about. Let's schedule it for this time. And let's do this. Let's do that. Let's schedule the seed for next fall. Let's schedule that. Let's do a little research or whatever needs to happen. Let's get those seeds ordered. How long can they fit on the shelf? Let's get them in now before we run it. Historically, we run out of money at the seeding cut. Let's buy them now. Store them. Can we? No.
Some of them can. Some of them.
That's the kind of mentality we need to do. But, I mean, you know, I think he should, the auger you handle. I didn't get an email on that, but
thank you. I just discussed it this morning. Okay. I told him that we had a concern. Okay. So we want to try to save money. I said, I asked him if you'd put it out with his feeders to see if we can help find one for
a handicapped guard. 16 foot.
And that's great. But this is the thing we need to schedule money for. Well, the computer should be bought in January.
Well, I mean, that's been a long
so on and so forth.
We'll be able to turn on how the budget works, what we're spending every month, and that way it'll keep us on track.
A little bit, yeah. But there's still unforeseen that we need to do. But we need to talk about one job. I don't know if it's always all about the money, but job's getting done. I think we should schedule Larry now to get the willows pulled out before all the visitors come next spring. So it looks good because the concern looks. There's some function there, but look, let's get them out. Next year, the willows are not ever going to be tabled again. They were pulled out on schedule by the board.
I think we want to make a list first of what we want done during the year, and then we can figure out what bucket it goes into.
Yeah. I mean, it's just something to talk about. I mean, I'm open for suggestions. It's more I want to talk about that as a topic. I don't have all the answers. I only know what I see a shortcoming in. And there's a shortcoming in planning. And that's what I wanted to talk about. So if anyone has suggestions, ideas, Willow's the one that really sparked it in my head. I went up after the last meeting. And I saw him. And I had to ask him, I go, why do you want Willow's out? Because they overgrow the pond. Let's take care of it. And no one was ever going to talk about it. We were going to get halfway through next year. Larry's busy.
I'm confused. I don't know if there's Willow's in
the pond. Toolies. The toolies.
What?
The toolies. They go in, they have the... little cattails on the top.
Cattails. Oh, you're talking about the pond. Oh, yeah, the fish pond. I'm not talking about it. But that was brought up in the last meeting. Or it was talked about getting them pulled out because it's a visual thing. And I know that there's some function there, too, because they'll overgrow the pond. That's fine. Let's talk about it. You talked about getting water moved around at the upper meadow. I don't know if that's something that needs to fall under the water committee. I don't know. There might be. But why can't we channel that, get it off the upper meadow so the upper meadows are drying out so it can be mowed next year? I don't know these.
So you just want to authorize the water movement?
No, that's not what I said.
Well, hold on.
There's another kind of issue I wasn't prepared to go forward on. But I think your irrigation is, again, water committee needs to discuss it. But it's a good idea.
I mean, should we? The board's here. Should we talk about spring, or I don't know if it's too late this year, but channeling some of that off the meadow so it can dry out next year, and we can get it fully mowed, get it, I don't know if it can be fully gradable, but I mean, start the process. Let's not make it a zero. Let's say we made progress. When would you like to do that? Oh, that's probably a good February plan. So it is not tabled till after February. We can say, why wasn't it done? Or it was done because we got it in an email. Because he already knew he was doing that month. He didn't wake up and say, what am I going to do today? What do they want? I don't know. We need to tell them also.
Okay, let me throw something out here then. Let's, why don't you put together what you think. Actually, I think everybody throws some ideas together and start bouncing around on the Internet.
I want to see your ideas, though. Because you might have a shortage of ideas when we're here, but I don't see too much email from you.
I don't
email much either, my friend. But when it comes to some topics, if I'm going to bring them up in the meeting and harp on them, I'm going to put them out on the Internet for the group to see. So I'd really appreciate seeing your suggestions.
Actually, Ryan, I don't think you do. I'm not critical.
I want to see
what I'm saying. Put together a whole presentation. And I think you and everybody have a copy. Nobody made any comment. So therefore, it's easy for me to say, throw it in the wastebasket. I won't bring it up again.
No. I think this presentation is completely different to what I'm asking for. I'm asking for scheduling of jobs for the next year. Is actually in a nutshell. What do you want to see done?
But if those don't fit into an overall master plan, they won't happen.
That's why we're talking about this now. We need to set when is stuff going to happen. If you never say, if I never heard that I need those willows or cattails pulled out of that pond, I would never have known. Because I'd come by there and say, those look really cool. And I would never have thought to pull them out unless somebody brought them up. And I want to say it was you. Don't quote me.
Actually, love the willows. You were talking about the willow problem we have up in the middle camp.
And the upper, where the water is, right?
Yeah.
Well, if someone said pull them out of the pond with the back.
There is just,
because that's why I went to look at it. I have to call it somebody. And so we need to
really
we're all about making forward progress. We want to make forward progress. We need to plan it. We can't come to the meeting and say, well, what did we not do last month?
just like a budget. Why don't we take this next month and say, hey, everybody write down a list of their top 10 list of things they want to see done at the ranch. And we all kind
of... And I'm not talking about...
Like priority fences. The fence at Broadhollow, the fence at Athlip, or at
specific.
I'm looking for stuff that's in the budget. I'm not looking for stuff.
We've already budgeted.
The fence projects, the mowing projects, seeding projects, what months would it take us? Time limit. I can tell you that it takes a couple days. Those fields are not Broadhollow.
And he can kick back to it. Someone posts, hey, mow this, this, and this, and this month. And he can say, well, I can knock it out in 2 or 3 weeks, not a month. internet makes people look more skeptical.
But I think coming, the board members coming to the board meeting and saying, this is some of the things that we'd like to see done this year. This is what we have allocated for it. This is the months we want to see it done. That's great.
And we can talk about, you know, and we can even switch up. Like if you go, you know, it's really better if we do this this month, this this month.
I'd like to see the pavilion put back on if we can squeeze it back into this.
Well, I think we got a lot we need to deal with now.
Well,
I don't know.
We're already
6,000 in the hole. Well, for 85,000 since the angel wasn't anticipated.
Let's start accomplishing some stuff. Let's make forward progress on items that have been approved so we don't have the zero by items so we can say progress is being made. And then let's go to some of these new projects. So let's create some money, let's save some money, and let's make progress all at the same time.
So our objective for this month is to think and email each other the projects that we want to done at budget and to brainstorm ideas on increasing income.
So I said it's what Ryan said. I said we need to look at our budget, where we're spending money, come together with an item schedule, start putting together something like that.
That was the first part. The second.
Anything else needs to be brought up for the board? Anybody else want to put anything up?
Mark, I'd like to say one thing.
Okay.
There is 6 hours of explanation of each of these line items, plus or minus, in the last meeting audio. You guys, you really picked them apart. You know, there's a lot of explanation in there as to what the amount comes to, because you went through them line by line. Jody brought them up in QuickBooks, looked at what checks were written into what, questions were asked, answers were given. There's a lot of information there, and I know nobody likes the idea of listening to 6 hours of audio, but a lot of that information is already out there.
Okay. Well, I encourage everybody to, well, that's what really sucks about not having our minutes to go over a lot of this stuff.
Unfortunately, a lot of that stuff,
you
didn't know.
Sure.
Headline. Yeah. Well, we did. We went through that line by line.
It was very thorough.
Well, I would never really critique him as meaning he was just pointing out that we need to stick to the budget.
Yeah, he's absolutely right. Absolutely right on that thing.
We're beating that.
That was probably the better budget meeting that I've had to do in the last 3 years.
Well, first of all, that was the plan.
It's still not analyzed yet, but we need to, I think,
we have to analyze it. Now we need to fine tune.
Yeah.
And maybe take off, well, if we can cut anywhere. And that's where we need the people that have been here for a long time to kind of help figure that out. Because, well, we won't know. Of course, I look through the mini.
All right. Anything else before we conclude this meeting?
I'm moving, sir.
I second that motion.